Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome, everybody. We're here live tonight, and I think we're on. Are we on? It is good to be here, and thank you for being with us. All right, we're here to pray for you and bless you, and believe God to give you information that will help you in your, you know, when your life with the Lord, and hopefully we can do that and be blessed so you can be encouraged and get relevant information for you to fight the battles that you're in. Without relevant information, if you're getting yesterday's information, right, what good does it do? Yeah, it doesn't do much good because you need information to how to fight specifically for today. And we are here to help you get part of that. And, you know, many of you have other places you get information from, and we're thankful for that, for feeding you the Word of God and the not only the written Word, but the spoken Word. From the mouth of the Lord, through preaching, through prophesying, through speaking, you know, in the Spirit, and giving you relevant information so you can overcome the things that are messing with you and that are dealing with you and that are causing you problems, right? That's what we're here to do. And so thank God for that. And we want to believe God with you for a miracle, whatever you need, a small miracle, big miracle, or just get to the point where you don't need any miracles. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome to get to the point where you personally don't need any miracle? Well, I just thought about that. Hey, what do you need? Don't need a miracle. God has blessed me. I'm blessed. Don't need no miracles. But I got one for you in Jesus' name. Right? Wouldn't that be cool? Isn't that cool? Yeah, that's awesome. Wow, really, really cool. Yeah, so I think I'm going to share with you tonight about something God just spoke to me about today and kind of give it to you the best I can. You know, hang on just a moment here. Grab a hold of something here. I'm going to go to Acts 14. And I'm going to get ready to go there here in just a moment, Acts chapter 14. So get yourself ready. We're going to talk about some cool things that I got about how we're supposed to pray during tribulation, during troubles, whether it be great tribulation, the great tribulation, or in just issues, things, problems, you know, so... we're going to open you up to that tonight and believe God with you to, you know, enter into the kingdom of heaven, right? Sometimes you're listening to the show somehow or another, some other way. You want to call in directly to the show and get prayer. Make sure and lift your hand up when you get in because it's going to say, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Once you dial the number, welcome to Blog Talk Radio, then click 1 on your phone. And that will put your hand up so that we will make sure that you want prayer tonight and we don't overlook you thinking you just want to listen to the show and not be bothered. Some people like to do that. So we'll give them that privacy. Also, you know, we want to, you know, let you know that the number is 319-527-6027. 319-527-6027. And make sure, and when it says, welcome to Blog Talk Radio, click 1 on your phone, on your phone pad, you know where you dial the number. It'll say, welcome to Blog Talk Radio, and they click 1 on your phone, and that'll put your hand up, and we'll recognize you as someone who wants to talk, visit, share, testify, testify or, you know, need prayer, whatever you need, or prophetic work or whatever, which is what we do here. And so welcome to that place, right? Thank you for being here. We absolutely love it. All right, here's what we're going to talk about tonight a little bit, something God just kind of gave me today. One of the things, let me talk about a couple of different things. We kind of do that lately, don't we? Talk about a couple of different things, trying to get into a lot of information in within a 30, 45-minute time. So, you know, what happens when you see your children under a lot of pressure and they're going through a lot of hard times? What do you do when you see that? How do you pray? What's going on? What do we do? What do we pray? What do we say? How do we minister to them? How do you minister to your loved one, your husband, your wife, your lost kinfolk, whoever they are, your boss? When you see them going through a lot of pressure, a lot of hard time, I think this is probably going to be one of the most breaking point things I've shared about how to deal with someone in that position, in that place. Now, you know, because what we're looking for with people is to get breakthroughs, right? We're interested in seeing them bear fruit. Sometimes, you know, teaching won't do it. Teaching is good. We got to have teaching. You know, prophetic ministry won't do it. We need prophetic ministry. That's what we do here. We need all kinds of things. But one thing we need is to be broken inside. And sometimes, you know, really teaching can't do that. Prophesying can't do that either. Prophesying, you know, does different things. But when the pressure's on, when you are in a big pressure situation and you got pressure coming at you from every angle and you just don't know what to do and you feel like you're going to fall apart any moment, friend, look up, for your redemption is drawing nigh if you pray correctly. And the big thing is praying correctly. So what do we pray? Do we pray, God, take the pressure off of them? God, you know, get them in a place of peace and rest? How do we pray? What do we do? Well, let's look at the scripture for a moment in Acts 2. We talked about this scripture before a little bit, but I want to focus on it in a particular way tonight. If you would just bear with me here as we go here with this. This is Acts 14, 22. We're going to get it right. I'm going to read 21 here. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples. Okay, so we're talking about strengthening the souls of the disciples, right? Strengthening the souls of the disciples. Exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. Tribulations. Listen, the book of Acts and the church of Acts, the Acts church, understood that tribulation, now we're not talking about the great tribulation, but they were in a pretty great tribulation. I mean, it wasn't all that great, but it was great for them, right? And so he said, as they were strengthening the souls, they were winning people to Christ, and they just come right out and tell him. One of the first messages they say is, hey, guess what? Exhorting them to continue in the faith, saying, we must through many pressures, tribulations means pressures, enter the kingdom of God. So how do we enter the kingdom? Too much pressure. So do we pray the pressure off of our loved ones right when they're about to break through and we see the pressure and we feel like they're about to fall apart and we're going like, I don't want my baby to die, you know, or whatever. You know, they're going to go down. You know, they're going to be put in jail and they're going to be humiliated and it's going to be horrible. Well, you know what? That might be just the best thing for them. If you're praying correctly, that is. Now, they need prayer. My granny used to pray for me. And the hell I was going through at the time, I thought it was a lot of trouble, a lot of pain, a lot of heartache, the devil coming after me or whatever was going on, I didn't know. But I had pressure all around me. I was doing drugs, I was doing alcohol, I was doing the hippie thing, you know. And I wasn't really a hippie, but I sure enjoyed the hippie life. It was kind of interesting at the time until, you know, a couple of years later I got burned out on it completely. So all the pressure with everything, failure, problems, mistakes, one thing then another, just falling apart and breaking apart. And I remember, you know, I just had a little sports car my grandfather had bought for me. And, and so I dented it all up. And with drug money, right, with drug money, I had it fixed up. Got it going, man. I'm driving down the road. I'm pulling up to work. And it's the same place. I'm pulling up to work to the place where, remember I told you I got saved working on putting sprinklers together in Oklahoma, and we went on a trip for the very first time. And the only time we ever went on a trip on that in that company was that well, that's what's happened. I was going to that job in my little sports car, my cool little vet-looking – it wasn't a vet, but it was a vet-looking sports car. And I pulled up into the parking lot going a little bit too fast, just got my car fixed, looking great, happy. Man, you know, blankety-blank, and this looks awesome, you know, some of the heathen. And I slid right underneath the bumper of another car and dented it almost in the exact same place. And something told me, I don't know what it was, maybe it was God, I don't know who it was, but something told me, you just reaped what you sowed, boy. You just reap what you sowed. And so I just thought, man, I was so happy. And all of a sudden, and this, a lot of stuff was happening to me at that time. A lot of pressure was happening to me. So tribulations means a cause of great trouble or suffering. Now, you have to understand, you know, the disciples are preaching them. These days, we don't preach this much, right? I don't think we preach this too much about how do you enter into the kingdom of God? Give your money. Oh, yeah, give money, you'll enter into the kingdom of God. You'll be blessed. Well, you know, whatever God speaks, does, you know, the principle of giving that blesses you, but this is something that we don't hear a lot. You know, God wants you to be peaceful. He wants you to be, and he wants us to have peace. He wants us to have real peace. And so sometimes the troubles we get into, if it can stir your peace, move your peace into whatever, anxiety and stress, then maybe something needs to be done in your life. And the only thing sometimes that can bring you to that place of breakthrough is being broken through tribulations. This is what they told them. They said, saying to them, to these new disciples, through much tribulations, you guys, and the new disciples are going like, huh? But they broke them in with this right here. Through many tribulations or pressures, troubles, we enter into the kingdom of God. Right? And why? Because the book of Acts was going through a lot of problems. The book of Acts is going to be like the book of Revelation. It's like a message that we need. And in the end times, the revelation that we're coming, the great tribulation also, which is what's going to happen. We're going to have a great tribulation in the midst of the great tribulation. And so if we don't know how to pray, if we're always trying to pray everybody out of the pressure, oh, God, please release him from the pressure. You know, and I've done that. When you see your children suffering or you see your loved ones suffering, you know, the last thing you want to see is them suffering. I don't want to see it. Do you? Nobody does. Let me tell you something, friend. Sometimes we need to ask, if we intervene in prayer, we can be confident that in that pressure that God is going to cause them to enter the kingdom of God in a new level or get born again. Like with me, all that pressure I was under. When I was going to get busted, wondering when the cops would be right around the corner, and I'd live with that fear and live with paranoia, and I mean, you're just like freaking out. Then if I'm pulling up into that place where I work, where the place that went on a trip one time in that whole company I worked for one time, and I got saved on that one trip. That was the company I was driving to the parking lot when I did this to my car. And I'm a dope head, you know, I'm drinking, I'm partying, you know. And so it's just kind of like, you know, man, what else could – I mean, I just got this. It was almost the exact same place. I couldn't swear to that. It just seemed – I remember going, thinking – you know, it's just like the same place. It wrecked it in the same place. I just got it fixed. Oh, my gosh. And this, I don't even know the date or time, but right after I got saved. Because the pressure, friends, my grandma was praying for me. I don't think she was praying, oh, God, deliver him from all his pressure so he'll have peace. No, she was probably praying, God, convict him, a bold Baptist praying woman. Convict him by the Holy Ghost, Father. Oh, Holy Spirit, get on him, convict him, make him miserable in his sin. That's what the old saints used to pray like. Now we pray, oh, please, God, bring peace to him. Well, friend, you don't want them to have peace if they're not right with God, or if God's trying to put them through some points of pressure, people coming against them, you know, lawsuits are a really big thing, you know, where they go with a lot of people, you know, financial pressures. And we just try to, you know, help them with every little thing. Oh, please, oh, God, don't put any more pressure. Let me save you. So we save them out of their tribulations, and we mess up their pathway into entering the kingdom of God. Woo! Boy, the Holy Spirit hit me with this today, y'all. He hit me with this today. He was going like, I'm going like, oh, my Lord and my God. And this is not about the Great Tribulation, but this is about, though, it is preparedness. And in the book of Acts, these people were going through, you know, I mean, it was like hell on earth for them. I mean, they were being persecuted. The leadership was being killed. And new converts are coming in. The power of God's moving. The glory of God is moving because they're being persecuted. And, you know, Stephen was being killed. I think he was killed, you know, somewhere around in here. And it's amazing, friend, the pressure. When the pressure was on, that's the way, you know, when the pressure's on, that means, and it's overtaking you, that means you're losing your strength. Remember we talked about Peter losing his strength? When Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me. And sure enough, Peter failed. His own strength failed him. And he denied the Lord three times. And then the cock crowed. And he's like going, nobody wanted to hear that background music. Oh, my gosh. And he goes, whoa. Just like Jesus said exactly. What happened? God was taking him through much pressure. Much pressure. He was under pressure. He's going like, is Jesus really the Messiah? I mean, we've watched the miracles. We've watched the signs, the wonders. You know, I got a revelation that he is, and I don't know what's going on, what's happening here. And Jesus said, was basically saying to him when he said he was going to deny him, he was saying, your strength, your courage, your human courage, your human strength, which you rely on too much, is about to be broken. And what happened when he denied the Lord, that broke him because it happened. He was humiliated in front of the people. He knew what he just said was wrong, and yet he didn't know why he said it. He didn't know what's going on. He's going like, what is wrong with me? I'm a denier of Jesus. I said I would never die. I'm the one who stepped out of the boat, walked in the water. All the other disciples were, you know, under the pressure, were bowing down and trying to hang on to the boat. And here I am, Mr. Courageous. And God, and Jesus knew. Because, friend, the stronger you are in your own strength and will, and I'm a very strong-willed person myself, you know, and anyway, so every time I've had a major breakthrough, the last major breakthrough I had when I entered into a place with I had a knife stuck in my heart, it seemed, you know, not literally, but figuratively, the pain I felt for about a year, at least a year, in my heart, and couldn't get rid of it. Couldn't get rid of it. And I'm praying. I'm doing everything. I'm like Paul the Apostle. I'm fasting and praying. Oh, God, please deliver me from this. Please. Please deliver me, God, from all this pressure. And the pressure just kept on. It was relentless. It was. Friend, it was absolutely relentless. It was like the most vicious enemy could ever have was not letting go of me. And I realize now, I don't know who or what God was using. I don't know what was that pain in my heart. But I'm telling you, I was born again, spirit-filled, yes, and baptized in water, by the way, if you need to know that. And so that helps you. And just serving Jesus, walking in the gifts of the Spirit. You know, believing God for revival. I mean, I'm on fire for the Lord. You know, people even, you know, at that time thought I was like a little bit too, you know, he's a little too hot, you know, because I was witnessing, serving the Lord, right? And then, you know, and even in the midst of all that, you know, God broke me. He broke me. He broke me big time. And when he broke my strength and I carried that pain in my heart for about a year, I could not get rid of it. It's a deep pain in my heart. I didn't think I was having a heart attack. I knew better. I don't know what I thought was going on, except I knew the pain was very painful, and I couldn't get rid of it. And I said, I finally, you know, something happened. I yielded to God in the midst of it because the pressure was not relenting. Friend, if you're praying the pressure off your loved ones, if you're praying the pressure off of you, I highly want to recommend to you that you ask God how for you to pray, because that very pressure may be the very thing that is going to turn your life around, turn your children's life around, turn your husband, your wife's life around, and quit praying the pressure off. Oh, God, I don't want to watch them suffer. Well, then don't watch them. Look the other way and pray and say, God, pressure that my children are going through, in this pressure that I'm going through, in this horrible circumstance, this constant pressure on me, God, I don't know what to do, but God, I yield my life to you, Jesus. I want to serve you, God. I don't want to be like I've been. And I was serving God. I was worshiping Jesus. I was on fire with the church all the time. I was going to church 3 times a week, serving, doing all these things. And God said, you know, and when I prayed, I said, God, I want to be a great man of God. I want to be a great man of God. I really do. And when I did that, woo, was that ever a setup? Because, brother, it opened the door, and I mean all hell broke loose. And I couldn't stop it. The more I tried to fix it, the worse it got, because it was a God-designed attack on my strength to bring my strength to a place where I could enter the kingdom of God. Not getting saved. I was already saved. I was turned on to Jesus. I've been turned on to Jesus for years at that time. Turned on to the Lord. I didn't have any secret sins. There was nothing going on. I was serving God. And people don't understand that, well, everything should be going good if I'm serving. No, sometimes when you pray to God, God, bring me into your kingdom deeper, and you all of a sudden things start falling apart. You say, oh, my God, what happened? I'm not going to pray that prayer again. Why, friend? You know, I look back now, and I'm going, it was horrible, but it's what broke me through in the place with God that I've never been in my life. And some of you are right in the midst of that today. You need some help. Let me tell you the help you're going to get. We're not going to pray that God releases you from that pressure. We're not going to pray for you like the disciples. Jesus said, can you guys pray for me? I think the reason they fell asleep and didn't pray for Jesus, and he kept coming back saying, you guys aren't praying, because you know what? They'd have been praying. They'd have been, God, all that, oh, God, all that pressure, Yahweh, all that pressure on Jesus, our Messiah, please take it off of him. And God would have been going, let's see if we can keep their mouth shut. Let's see if we can close their mouth. Oh, yeah, we'll just, with the heaviness that was in the garden, they fell asleep, you know, to keep their mouth, keep them from praying the wrong prayers. Because, friend, when you see someone, Jesus was going through so much pressure. He was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. What was happening? He was entering into a dimension of God and obedience to God that he'd never had in his life. And everybody said, oh, please, God, take the pressure away from my child. Oh, God, no, let me save them. Let me give them all the money they need. Let me get them out of jail. Let me do it. You know what, friend? You need to quit being your loved one's saviors and start letting Jesus save them, and let the pressure that they're going through. If you don't pray, something bad could happen. I'm going to tell you the truth. If you don't pray, something bad could happen. I'm going to tell you the whole truth tonight, all right? But when you pray and you intercede and you understand that pressure is that they're going through is pressing them into the kingdom of God in a way they've never been before, you're going to keep praying that? Oh, God, take them out of the wine press. Take them out of where you're pressing the olives. No, you don't want to pray that prayer. That's a really dumb prayer. And maybe that's why God puts you to sleep sometimes, where you can't really, I don't know what to pray. Brother Chandler, can you pray for my child? And I'm going like, yeah, in the name of Jesus. You know, and we don't know what to pray. But when the Holy Ghost is having you pray for, and you got to learn how to pray in the Spirit and pray that pressure will bring them through. It will stay there. It will stay there and not be removed until they get removed from where they are and moved into a place of the kingdom of God that they've never been in their life before. Maybe it's getting them saved. God knows, they'll pray that my children, please send some money, send some love, send some something. Then again, this pressure is going to take them out. I just know they're going to kill themselves. You know what? I was at the point of killing myself, I look back later, and that was a signal that I was ready to get saved. But the only reason I didn't kill myself, probably, I don't know for sure, but it's because I had a granny, my sweet Baptist granny, who was an evangelist at heart, was praying for this old boy. And if it hadn't been for her, I probably would have killed myself. I don't know. I wasn't close to it, really. I ain't gonna stress anything. I would like I would think about it when I get drunk and loaded. I think, man, if I could just run off the side of the house, the road and hit the tree and just end this thing, you know. And it was a thought that would go through my head. Well, little by little, in a few years, it might have been. But no, I had Granny over there praying. I don't know what she was praying exactly. I never asked her. But I know that her prayers, she was praying, because let me tell you something, friend, about Baptists, most of them. Well, my Granny Baptist, I'll say this. She would pray, convict that boy of sin and unrighteousness, convict him of sin, draw him to Jesus. She was a Jesus person all the way. Oh, Jesus, save my grandson. Save that baby doll. Save him. He was so cute when he was little. The older he got, the more rebellious he got. He's now 20 years old, and he's like, you know, he's just messed up. Dear God. Oh, convict him. What is conviction? It's pressure. Oh, when you're praying conviction, friend, it's pressure. So when the pressure of the Holy Ghost takes whatever the pressure you're going through, it will draw them into the kingdom of God, and they're going to find themselves like me. After I went through that one time, I've been saved for years, walking with Jesus for years. I'm not some in and out, up and down, almost committing adultery, almost doing drugs. I wasn't almost doing anything. They had to keep me off the streets, telling people about Jesus. And God says, Randy, you want me to answer your prayer? If you want to be a mighty man of God? Is that what you want to be today, friend? I don't know what you want to be. I don't know what you want to be. I don't know who you are. I don't know what's happening with you exactly. But whatever pressure you're under, whatever thing seemingly seems to be trying to press you down, that's what happened to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was the press that was pressing his olive, bearing the fruit that he had borne in his life. I had borne a lot of fruit in my life. I've won a lot of people to Jesus, prayed for a lot of people. God used me. I was in his will. But I made the wonderful mistake, thank God for it. God, oh God, make me a great man of God. I want to be the greatest man of God that ever lived, besides Jesus, of course. And that's what I prayed. I knew it wasn't going to happen. But you know what? God says, well, let's give it a try here, Chandler. And I mean to tell you, the pressure that I got under, and it just went on and on and on and on and on until I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I was like going, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm strong-willed. I'm in the Word of God. I'm serving Jesus. I'm praying in tongues. I'm praying in the Spirit. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how to get rid of this stuff. And God says, I don't want you to get rid of it. This pressure is pressing the fruit that you've borne in your life. Now we're going to bring it to a whole other level. Where the olive press is going to press the olives in your life. You're going to find yourself walking in a new anointing, in a new place with a new mantle. Friend, I don't know if that's what you want tonight. You may be happy where you are. You may be satisfied with your place with God. I'm not. I'm not today. I'm going, God, you know, I want to serve you all the way, Jesus. People think, oh, is he almost tempted to do this, tempted to that? Listen, I don't say I'm not tempted to do this, but you know, it's just like God is gracious to me. God is gracious to me. He's given me a strong passion to do God's will. And I've learned how to water that, and I've learned how to nurture that. I've learned how to fertilize it. I don't put too much fertilizer on because y'all be hearing me getting, oh, yeah, there goes Chandler again. I think he's been putting too much fertilizer on. Y'all know what fertilizer is, right? Fertilizer is dung, the best kind. It's not chemical fertilizer. It's dung, right? So what does that mean? That God is, I'm counting things in my life as dung, and it falls around my tree, and I start growing. So it tells you, you know, something's dying, and yet I'm coming to life because that what is dying is becoming dung, and it's fertilizing my tree and my life. Hallelujah, friends. Oh, my God, get ready, because we're going to break through into some places that you have never seen or known before, because the darkness that's coming upon this earth, darkness is going to put a pressure on you that you are going to have to depend on the light of God inside of you, that the woman who was clothed with the sun, standing on the moon, representing the moon, representing the reflection of the law. The law reflected Christ. It just reflected him, and the woman was clothed with Jesus, was clothed with light, and had those 12 crowns on her head representing the leadership, the apostles and prophets. Oh, my God. And that woman was anointed and powerful and yielded of the living God, y'all. That's the church right in the midst of the tribulation. Hallelujah. Yes, Mary gave birth to Jesus, and Jesus was, after he lived for 33 years or so, he out of his side on the cross of Calvary, the Romans used a sword and cut a hole in his side, so it bled out, blood and water, giving birth to the church of Jesus Christ. Just like Adam gave birth, if you will, not birth, but out of his side came the woman. Same thing happened with the second Adam, with Jesus, the main Adam, right? He was the Adam of Adams. And out of his side was birthed the church of Jesus. And then she was clothed with the glory of God. And these were the 12 apostles, plus more, 120 of them, got baptized with the Holy Ghost. And friend, that is the church. That is the church of Jesus Christ. People try to say it's all this other stuff, and I've said it too, and I used to believe a lot of things, and God is starting to awaken me because I'm asking him questions. I'm getting under a lot of pressure. And people say, oh, please, Brother Randy, don't be pressured. God loves you. You know, I'm going to ask you to stop praying that for me, would you? Would you just start praying for me that God, in this pressure that is pressuring me, that, and it's just, and, you know, it's just, I don't want to say it's nothing, but the pressing in that I'm going through is a glorious thing, friend. Quit praying it off of me. Quit saying, oh, poor little Randy, he's suffering so much. No, don't give me that poor little thing. That's what they did with Jesus. They said, poor Jesus. You know, he's carrying the cross, and he said, woman, to daughters of Zion, don't pray for me. Pray for yourselves and for your children. And that's what I want to tell people. Don't pray for me. Pray for your children. Pray for yourselves. I'm in the hands of God. Yes, do I want your prayers? Of course I want your prayers. But don't be praying for me. Oh, that self-pity, you know, that little feminine thing. Oh, man, no, dear God, we don't want him to suffer none. Please, Jesus, help me. You know, and I know that sounds sweet, and I prayed that prayer over a few people myself, but I'm not telling you tonight. Don't pray that for me. He told me to tell people, quit praying wrong, because you're praying people out of their blessing. But if you got to pray for them when they're in that pressure, that God will use that pressure, that the anointing will grow them up and strengthen them and break them of their own strength. Some people's strength is so heavy, it took a year of something stuck in my heart for a full year. It wouldn't go away. Because I'm stubborn. I'm strong-willed, boy. I mean to tell you. So don't pray. I don't want you praying for me. Oh, please, Jesus, save me from that pressure. You know, and if you want that kind of prayer for me, I don't know if I'll pray it or not. Probably not after this one, right? I'm going to pray that God will cause you to bow your knee to him in the midst of this pressure, just like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, and he said, Father, not my will, not my strength, not my purpose, but thy strength and thy will be done tonight, O God. Deliver me from my strength, Lord. Deliver me from my own ideas. Deliver me, God. And God did deliver him. And he did enter into that place. We could go there tonight, but I think I'll save it for another time. Woo! Are y'all hearing me tonight, y'all? Oh, God, take this pressure off me. I mean, how many of us want pressure on us? Nobody does. Nobody wants that pressure. But you know what? The church right here, the church of Jesus, in the midst of the great tribulation, is going to preach the message, strengthening the souls, verse 22, of the disciples. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must, through many tribulations, many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Much pressure, friend. Much pressure. That's not a little bit of pressure. That's many tribulations. This church was going through it, friend. You want to find out what it's going to be like in the book of Acts? You want to find out what it's going to be like in the book of the Great Tribulation? It's going to be like the book of Acts. And our message needs to change. Oh, please, Jesus, take the pressure off of him. Oh, God, I don't like to see him suffer. Well, how do you think Mary felt when she watched her own son dying on the cross, that they thought, nobody thought he would ever be up on that, much less a cross? They would never bust him. He always broke through. That's the big thing about, oh, yeah, how'd he slip away tonight? Oh, it was amazing, man. He just disappeared. We don't know where he went. He always tells us, well, meet me over there at the Garden of Gethsemane. I'll see you guys at the Garden. If I slip away, you know where I'm going to be, so come and meet me there. Yeah, literally. Friend, quit praying that pressure off yourself and ask God to give you brokenness from your own strength. Brokenness is about breaking your strength. Paul the Apostle was a man who was spirit-filled, tongue-talking, Holy Ghost, prophesying, apostle who flowed in more revelation than you could ever think of. And God gave him a thorn in the flesh to keep him from having pride, or pride. Pride is your own strength. Now, if Paul the Apostle needed something to keep him from moving in his own strength, you don't think you and I need that? I think we need it. That was the pressure. God put tremendous pressure on him. He couldn't escape it. He prayed just like you and I do. Oh, God. This is where we probably learned this from Paul. Oh, God, deliver me from this thorny pressure. It was pressure everywhere, friend. Everywhere he went was pressure, 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 pressure. You know why? Because God was trying to teach him to live off his grace, or to live off his strength. Unmerited. Paul was so used to meriting. He was such a great lawyer under the law. He was such a great server, a Pharisee. He was a truly good, God-fearing Pharisee who loved God. Was not a big hypocrite. He was truly a sincere man. He was used to living under the law and performing and trying his best to be the only one, maybe, whoever did it and made it and fulfilled the law. And God took this man, this precious man, and gave him a thorn in the flesh. God did it, friend. Sometimes God is putting these things. God is putting this pressure on you. God is allowing this pressure. The thing is what are you doing in your prayer time? You're asking God, like Paul, to deliver you from it? Oh, I think that's pretty normal. If Paul did it, why couldn't we do it? You can, but Paul already said, hey, don't waste your time fasting and praying and crying. And say, oh, God, please deliver me from this pressure, because that's what I've done many, many times. Randy Chandler had done that more than 3 times. And God goes, My grace is your sufficiency, Randy. Learn to live off my spirit, off my grace, off my unmerited. You can't merit it, Paul. I won't let you merit it. I'll put a thorn, and you won't be able to merit it. You won't be able to perform anything. You'll be falling. Every time you try to do good, you're going to do bad. That's what that thorn was about, friend. Every time he tried to do good, he'd just stumble and do bad. Well, I've never been this stumbled before. I must be getting older or something. Why do I keep falling apart every time I try to perform right? I perform wrong. Oh, it's this thorn. Yeah, you know what the thorn was? It was made and designed to keep him from living off his own strength and performance and pride, and to keep him humble. I don't know, friend. If you don't need that, that means you're not getting much from God. Maybe you don't need it. Let me tell you something. I think some of us need it. We don't know it, and we're getting it. And we're trying to ask God, like Paul did, to please get us out of this. Oh, God, please deliver me from this. Please get me out of it instead of help me go through it. Right? I'm talking about me, y'all. I'm preaching y'all what I preach to me. Literally. Yes, sirree. All right. Thank you for being with us tonight. Thank you for, sharing your love for PGN and what goes on here, and how we are here to serve you and love you and believe God to open you up. And if you make mistakes and you fail and you blow it, you know, guess what? You know, we're here to pick you up and carry you and hope you, you know, unless you're just a big liar. It's one thing to lie. It's another thing to be a liar, right? Now, I've tried helping liars before, and it was hopeless. So they need to be, you know, in a sense, Paul did this. He excommunicated the man in 1 Corinthians 5. He says, I turned him over to Satan. You can't. How do you turn somebody over to Satan? Well, I didn't get this revelation myself. I read it, and I thought it was right on. That he was excommunicating him from the protection of the church. Why? So that pressure for the saving of his soul. This guy was in perversion. He was in incest with his mother. Some people say his stepmother, but I have pretty well proof that it was mother. You know, people say that didn't go on. Listen, the Romans and, that, you know, the heathens, you know, they had no morals whatsoever. And if it didn't produce a child that was messed up through incest, they didn't care. You don't have a clue what really went on in those things. And so they were dealing with that in 1 Corinthians. And Paul says they're going to turn him over to Satan, you know, for the destruction of his flesh, for the saving of his soul. Yeah. You put him outside the protection of the church for that pressure. Bring him to Jesus. Read it for yourself. Right there. 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians, all through there. There's a lot about that story. You need to read it, study up on it, to understand the age of sexuality that we live in. This stuff is still going on. Trust me. I know. I mean, I deal with people. I counsel people. I get words of knowledge, you know, and God uncovers things. And believe me, you know, the things have been – most people do bad things because bad things have been done to them. Not that they're bad people. We've got to understand that. That's why Jesus said, you know, I didn't come to judge them or curse them or stone them. I came to die for them. In other words, he knew that they sinned because their father sinned. Maybe their father sinned against them personally. Maybe their mother sinned against them personally. Maybe their brothers and raped them, molested them, did sexual things to them. And that's why they do what they do until they get set free. And Jesus didn't come to send them to hell, friend. He came to die for them. We need to understand that, but we need to also wake it to reality. We live in a world that is perverted, man, and we're here to help people. They have to tell the truth. Sometimes you have to set them outside, excommunicate them to a certain degree, like Paul did, so that they get under that pressure. And you got people after trying to save them. Oh, what a save. I can't believe that Paul the Apostle did that to that brother. He was so, that's so mean. Well, in this case, that brother ended up getting right with God, and he did get back right with God. All right, so Paul says, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. Sorry I had to be so tough on him, but I'm not sorry because look what the fruit we bore. But think about that, friend. That's the way it really is. That's the real truth, if you will. Yeah, all that. I don't know the real truth about a lot of things. I know it on some. And when I get up, I'm going to try to share it with you because I love you. All right, let's take callers tonight. I haven't gone through all the callers' numbers not yet. I'm gonna hold off on that. I'm just going to start going down. And if you lose your place in line, like Nikki already, thank you, Nikki, for texting me, letting me know about that. Lost your place in line. Thing is, I don't know where you were because I didn't take pictures of that. But thank you for that. Okay. All right. What are we doing here? Here we go. All right. Okay, thanks, Nick, for letting me know about that, and I will just remind me a little bit later. Please text me again. I'll turn my text noise up so I can hear it when it comes in. All right, thank you for that. Hallelujah. Let me see here. I'll see in a second. Let me do this. Oh, wow. All right. Thank you, Jeannie, for that article. I just actually saw that article you sent me. That's really cool. We got some things we're going to kind of I get a lot of information. I share information here on the show about the red heifers, about the Antichrist, about the Texas oil and things like that. I got a couple of things I want to probably line out tomorrow night. Got them pretty close. Some of it is a little bit different, so we're going to talk about that so we keep our information pure as we can. We're going to raise up pure virgins, right? We got to get pure information so we can't be defiling it with defilement information. So we're going to try to keep everything straight best we can. That's why we're such a try to be strong about that. We don't exaggerate or take away from something, but we call it what it is the best we can. All right? So thank you, Jeannie, for the information about the calves and the tags. Wow. I'm just going to say this right now. The ear tags creates a hole in the calf's ears, which would blemish and disqualify the calf from mitzvah, which is, you know, the red heifer cannot have a tag hole, a hole in her ear from being tagged. I remember I talked about the other night, and I said, because of COVID. Well, here's why it was a COVID, why COVID saved them from being tagged. Jeannie just sent it to me. Thank you. The farmer explained that because of COVID, the employee who normally puts in the tags did not come to the farm when these five calves were born. I don't think that's the way I said it, but it still happened, basically, right? Yeah. Somebody said it was about because of the law, but it wasn't because of the law. It's because somebody didn't show up. The tagger didn't show up to work to tag them. All right, that's what they're saying, right? All right, that's what Jeannie said. I believe her. All right. She turned out to be quite a little information person there. I love that. And also, we have other information we're going to share, straighten it up at the Texas Oil. We'll probably do that tomorrow night. Take a little more time to share some. It's really awesome information. All right, let's take our first caller tonight. I'm going to call your first. I'm going to call your number, and then you give me your first name, what state you're from. That's all you got to say. And if you have an emergency prayer, then please give it to me quickly. We're not going to talk tonight, as you know. We can pray for people. All right? All right, here we go. All right, 912-398. Who am I talking to, Ruth, please?
Paulette from Savannah, Georgia.
Hey, Paulette. All right, Paulette. Thank you, Paulette, for being here with us. And thank you, Lord, for Paulette. Lord, I thank you for the victory ram, God, that you've called her to victory. You have a strong passion in you to have victory, to live in victory, to be victorious, not only just for everybody else, but for yourself, to walk in victory. And what I'm seeing, Paulette, is that, like I see, like, it talks about a cloud of witnesses just saying, go, Paulette, go, V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, you know, the cheerleading you. Yeah, because it's like you're getting some extra help or something. I don't know what that is exactly, whether, you know, when you're praying, or you're praying correctly, or you're praying, or you're falling on your knees crying out for God, for God's grace or something. I'm not sure what you're doing. You did something right. Because I saw like a, you know, like help has come. You have these, you know, Holy Ghost cheerleaders, these holy cheerleaders, the cloud of witnesses cheering you on. Yeah. So get ready for some victory, girl. Get ready for some victory. Amen. And the big thing is, it's about keeping you encouraged, keeping you in victory, keeping you in the blessing, keeping you, you know, David himself knew how to build himself up in the Lord, right? And some, I think you know how to do that. You've been around a while. You know how to build yourself up in the Lord. And we call in to, you know, to places for prayer. We go to church for prayer. We call in, you know, PGN, you know, for to be built up, be ministered to prophetically. Why? Because we want people to have courage to stand up against the thing. Paul the Apostle told Timothy, he said, Timothy, take some of those prophecies, 1 Timothy 3:18, take some of those prophecies you've been getting, personal prophecies that you've been receiving, and go meditate on them to fight the good fight. And that's what we do here. You know, so I suggest that as God shows you how to encourage yourself, Paulette, that you have help also, right? Yeah, so that's really awesome. I saw that in the spirit. That's amazing. I saw like a cloud of witnesses or a cloud. I saw a cloud and like, you know, like witnesses or something. Somebody, I don't know what the cloud of witnesses and cheering you on. Amen. So God help you find ways to build yourself up. Like David built himself up in the Lord. You know, nobody else would be able to build him up. Sometimes he'd be by himself or not around people who loved him. He would have to build himself up sometimes. So, amen. God's going to show you how to do that more and more and more all the time. Right? Because you got to stay in victory. Amen. So you can watch other people walk in victory. God needs somebody to stay in agreement with him. That's why he needs you to walk in victory. Amen. And you are going to walk. You are walking in victory. I'm talking about victory at a level you never walked in before. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All right. 912-318. Who am I talking to, Ruth, please? 912-318. Are you there? All right. That's Sandra. and Robert. All right, thank you. I think it's Sandra and Robert. Thank you, Lord, for Sandra and Robert. God, we thank you for Sandra tonight. God, we thank you for the activity of the Holy Spirit, God, that activities of the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of heaven have so many different levels, so many different meanings, so many different purposes, that it's not just one thing that God does. He does many different things. You know, sometimes he uses angels to move things out of the way for you. You know, sometimes when you, as you obey the Lord and do what he said, like when they walk around the walls of Jericho, you know, their obedience to God brought the walls down. Right? So whether the angels did that, I think the angels had to do it. I think they somehow shook the earth or whatever. I don't know how it happened exactly because it didn't describe, but angels are a lot at work in things. Of one of the ways that God moves things out of the way for you, removes mountains, you know, but he needs someone, like we're telling Paulette, to stay in agreement with him and to walk in agreement with God. And God has really called you to that place. There's an intercessor inside of you it's not about how long you pray or how hard you pray. It's about praying correctly. If you can pray correctly and get every prayer correct in 5 minutes, you don't need to pray for 5 hours. And with God, getting in fellowship with God in prayer is to pray the right prayers, to catch the will of the Spirit, the will of the Lord, right? And when you do that, you catch the right information, the right desires to pray the right things. Mark 11:25 in the King James Version, make sure to read the King James if you would, says that, you know, whatever things you desire when you pray, ask for these things and you'll have them. What's that saying? It says whatever things you desire when you pray. So when you get in that place where your spirit, you're in the spirit of prayer and your desire realm kicks in with God and you start praying those desires, it'll take long once you catch into that desire realm of prayer. And prayer is about getting in the spirit, in prayer, and just start, you know, opening your mouth and start praying. And I see you practicing, I don't know if it's called prophesying or prophesied praying or declaring decree praying, but I see you opening your mouth and just start blabbering. Just start, okay, God, the Lord thy God, the thee is mighty, and just start rattling off stuff that you know and just start believing God, let God shape words and shape information inside your head, inside your brain, inside your spirit, and you start speaking that stuff. If you get in the spirit of prayer and yield to God, and then watch God, you know, start answering prayer like you've never seen before, girl. Right? Because Mark 11:25, basic thing there is whatsoever things you desire when you pray. In other words, when you're praying, you get in the spirit of prayer, your desire realm kicks in with God. Then you can pray those prayers. If you pray for 3 minutes. You don't have to pray for 3 hours. When you pray for 3 minutes and you pray correctly, you pray about the Spirit, those things shall be answered. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, ask for those things. And you shall receive them. Amen. Bless Robert, God. Open Robert up, God, to that world of meditation, to that world of understanding the Word and his thinking and meditating on the Word of God. In Jesus' name, understanding that his imagination can be used by God to take him places that he would normally be able to go in his own thinking, his own understanding. Amen? Amen. All right. 325-280, who am I talking to your phone, please?
Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris. All right, Chris. Thank you, Lord, for Chris. Thank you, Lord, for that place of, you know, total restoration, total recovery, total blessing, you know, And that place where the leaves are the healing of the nations, and the leaves, and God bringing forth, you know, we have to have a tree, a healthy tree, to produce leaves, a healthy garden to produce healthy leaves. Leaves are, I'm finding out through just learning how God created, you know, plants and that kind of thing, that a lot of those things that you eat, the leaves are, you know, like lettuce is a leaf, and there's other leaves that, you know, are extremely healthy. And so I see you, you know, God growing new plants inside of you. And I say, and it's a spiritual sense too, the spiritual sense of growing, God is growing. You've been tilling your garden and crying after God and asking God and digging and planting, and God is planting seeds that are growing nutritional things for your life, to clean you up spiritually, you know, where sometimes, you know, we, you know, like with me, I ask God, you know, in my physical realm, I say, God, I'm pretty healthy, but I really want to clean my life up so I can, so my body will go 100%. I can use 100% of my body for 120 years, at least. That's what I want. Give me full, so I go from doing pretty healthy, going to live probably 95 and be really good to 120. So what I do, I start, you know, eating things, finding things that nurture my body, feed my body, that God gave. And so I see this thing going up, you spiritually. God is, you're tilling your ground. God is breaking the ground up, the deep ground, and he's giving you seed. Seed is, yes, financial seed also. Seed comes from financial blessing that God's going to bless you with. I see you planting seed, you know, in the ground, you know, as God shows you how to invest, how to do things. I see you planting seed, like even, you know, seed coins, like coins, planting coins. This just sounds really crazy. Planting coins in the ground, like planting a, you know, a 50 cent, as an example, a dollar coin or 50 cent coin, and planting it in the ground, and it produces trees. People say money doesn't grow in trees. Dude, get ready, because I've never given a word like this. Get ready, because you're going to start growing money trees. Yeah, you're going to start growing money trees. And you've been digging deep and digging deep. And God, just I just hear God saying to you, Chris, say this: God bless me, God, like Jabez, God bless me, God, and God making you causing you to pray unashamedly for the full blessing of God, for the full glory of God, as you have been digging. God, I'm digging for your will. I'm digging. Let it dig in my life. Plow me up, whatever you want to do, God, and let me grow the purest, the most glorious plants that will glorify God, that will bring health to the nations, health to people, health to me. Hallelujah. Amen. And the leaves of those money trees, I know it sounds kind of crazy. It sounds crazy to me, and I'm giving the word, right? But I saw that in the spirit. I didn't even know where all that was going. Lord, I saw you deep breaking, you know, letting God break the ground, because in the seed that produced 3,600-fold, if you remember that, if you go back and listen to that in Matthew 13, the interpretation of that was about understanding, and the 3,600, the 100-fold was and planted the seeds, you know, deep where it would get nutrition from the soil, and the soil was able to give it nutrition. It was clean soil. It was good soil. It didn't have a bunch of rocks in it. Right, but it caused it to grow fast and tall and big, 100-fold, 3,600-fold. And I see God, because you've been plowing God, you've been letting God plow you, man. I mean, this is what a word. You've been letting God plow you. God, whatever you want from me, I don't care. Do whatever you got to do it. Oh, man, be careful when you pray that, brother, because get ready. God's going to plow you deep, and when he does, you're going to have, your soil is going to be so rich. Your soil is going to be so rich. Hallelujah. You're going to have plenty of fertilizer in that, and fertile soil. And when you plant those seeds, whatever those seeds are, whether that's coin, whether that's, you know, seeds of, you know, like I kept seeing, I don't know why I saw you planting like little coins in the ground, and those coins producing like trees that grew those coins, 50 cent piece, and it grows up into a bush or whatever, a tree, and the more it grows, the bigger it grows, the more, instead of having one 50 cent coin, you got hundreds of them, 100-fold. 3,600-fold. But man, that broken soil, that's the most important thing. So God is breaking you deep. And as he breaks you deep and you say, God, though you slay me, yet will I praise you. That sounded like another man I know who had plenty. And then, you know, through his brokenness, through God letting him plow him, and even God goes, Satan, have you tried him? You know, I know he's gonna whoop your hide, devil. And the devil goes, yeah, just remove that hedge from him and see what happens. And so God says, okay, I move the hedge. Did I trust him? I know he has a heart for me. I plowed him deep. I know I plowed him big time. He's got some good soil, and it's fertile, and it's rich. And yet, so Job goes, there, though you slay me, yet God will I praise you. And God says, see there, I told you. And what did God do? He blessed him double because God plowed him deep, and God blessed him deep with good soil for a new future, for a new thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, that was amazing. So, and it's like when I saw that happening, this must have been one of the most unusual money words I've ever given. It's like those trees were healthy trees. In other words, it wasn't done out of greed. It wasn't done out of selfishness. It was done out of God. This is your 50-cent coin. I thank you for giving it to me. Thank you for the seed. I plant it in the ground, and I thank you, God, that it's going to grow for your glory. Good ground. It's not just good seed, bro. It's good ground. It's good ground. Good ground is important. Read Matthew 13 and let God show you that. Amen. Of course, it has to do with not just producing wealth, but everything else. Family, you know, Job was a revival man. He was a revival. He stood up at the gates of the city. People come in, he'd share Jesus with them, or he'd share God with them. He would give them wisdom. Amen. He wasn't just a money man who went out and worked all the time. No, he had plenty of helpers. Amen. Bunches of helpers who were doing for him. And, you know, he was such a smart, organized person that everything's going on. And he said, man, I got to go preach the gospel. He would go to the gates. You read about it. It's all right there, man. I've never wanted to be Job until tonight. Yeah, that's awesome. Anyway, there's a lot more about that, but praise God. Hallelujah. All right, get a hold of that, bro. That's awesome. All right, 972-695. You want to talk to your friend, please?
Hey, Randy. It's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas.
Hey, y'all. All right, good to have you up tonight. All right, Terrence and Tanisha. Thank you, Lord, for Terrence and Tanisha. Thank you. Somebody, I hope your ears were burning. What was it, last night? Yes, last night. I think, yeah, Lisa from Pennsylvania was talking good about y'all. That Tanisha, she's like, you know, she flows and all this. So, let's see. God's giving you a reputation. And you know, all the things God's doing, it's just like God's saying timing. You know, we've talked, you know, you've been on the show many times when we've had timing numbers. Like when through the election, I have numbers. God gave me numbers. Right, and those numbers spoke a lot about a lot of things, and they came to pass, you know, exactly. Like 1134, that was one of the biggest ones that started out with. And then it went from one number to the next number, And I don't know if you remember all that, but, man, those number things started just coming like boom, 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 boom. And then, you know, and so I see this kind of happening with you, happening with you in the place of getting that place to where, you know, the blessing of God just begins to take you over. Begins to run you over and take you over and bless you. And it's not just about wealth and money. It's about wisdom. Because when you have wisdom, then and that wisdom you produce wealth or blessing or whatever with God's favor, then it's done by God. Because most people grow their wealth, grow their business, their families, their ministries. But when they grow it, they don't use a lot of wisdom, like the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins. You know, they use wisdom, and people think, well, I'm just a virgin, I'm fine. No, you got to be a wise virgin, right? Yeah. And so they use wisdom, and because they use wisdom, what they built stayed. What they built, you know, in other words, they made it to the breakthrough. They didn't, you know, like the other ones, out of oil, because they were at the wrong time, at the wrong place. And what does that spell out? Timing. So that, you know, going back to the 1244 number that happened on Thursday, September the 8th, when the queen died, and that's been a big deal, you know, in my spirit. And I when I see something that's important and something that's going on significant that fits into, you know, what God's doing in his kingdom, and that was a very strategic thing that you did. You probably didn't even know. I think I was going to text Brother Randy and see if he knows about Prince Charles and what's going on with that. And if that has anything to do with Antichrist, bing, 12-4-4. And then all those numbers just lined up. See that? I mean, I know you know that, but you see that. Do you see that? Do you see that. That. Like in the book of Acts, when the book of Acts happened, when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was, says, this is that. Woo! Which is poured out this day. What Joel prophesied. Yeah. Do you see that? This is that. This is that. Yeah, this is that. You're ready for this. That was a sign. That was a symbol. That was significant. A signet ring. There you go. Because I want to say the word signet ring. It's very significant signet ring of what God's doing. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. And for Terrence tonight, Lord, we thank you for Terrence tonight. I thank you for somebody's right ear. Somebody's ears are burning tonight. You know, I mentioned about your ears burning, Tanisha, and my ears. Now my ears are burning. My right ear is burning. I don't know if somebody's talking really good about me right now or what. They probably are, I'm sure. It's just glorious. It's just wonderful. It's just hallelujah, the praise of God going up for his word. Something like that. But that right ear, that right side of the face, that right ear, that right, I want to say your right head, whoever this is, I don't know who this is. God is touching that right now. God is moving that. It may be Terrence. I don't know who it is. Could be somebody you're praying for. It could be somebody on the show. It may have nothing to do with you guys. In the name of Yeshua, God is touching, removing. Amen. Let it be done. Let it be done. Thank you, Lord, for Terrence, God, and for Terrence having an ear to hear you, Father, an ear to hear you, an ear to hear what's relevant, the relevant things, not just anything, not just, oh, yeah, the Bible says this. You know, it's what thus saith the Lord, what's relevant. That's what the prophets do. They spoke about what was relevant. They were telling people, you know, Jeremiah was telling Israel to repent about a specific thing about the Sabbath, letting the land rest and other things. But that was a major thing, and they wouldn't listen, you know, but it was a relevant word that would have turned them around and saved them 70 years of bondage, right? So having an ear to hear isn't just like hearing, oh, yeah, you know. No, it's what's relevant. It's the word that is relevant for that situation, for that problem, to heal that disease, to fix that situation, to open up that door, whatever, right? You just can't use any key to open the door. You have to have the relevant key, the one that fits there. And that's what having an ear to hear does, an ear to hear. Amen. In Jesus' name, open it up in the name of Yeshua, in Jesus' name. All right, 202-722, can I talk to Rickon, please?
Hey, Randy, this is Daryl Paul from Maryland and Nicole from D.C.
All right, Daryl Paul. I was thinking about you tonight during my message. I don't know why. You know, I don't really know you. I know you and Nicole are friends. And so, you know, but I thought about you tonight. I thought about you with the pressure thing. I don't know why. You know, I mean, I have a lot of people, you know, I have a few people that I know that I minister to. And you know, I think of a lot of people. I don't usually think of anybody much when I'm teaching or revelating. And tonight, when I was talking about that pressure, how that pressure, as God shows you how to yield to the pressure when it comes, because we all have pressure. Sometimes pressure can cause anxiety. You know, sometimes pressure can cause us to go into a tailspin on things. You know, but God's going to show you how to take every bit of the pressure, whether it be little or large, and show you how to cause it to give you new ideas, new to think differently about things, to open you up to kingdom of God ideas, which kingdom of God ideas are ideas that are God creative, that are God made, that are God designed. And I see you getting designed. I see the design part of your brain. God causing you to through the pressure. See, the pressure is what opens up a place in your mind that's never been opened before because you've never been able to go there. You always wanted to go there, but you couldn't get there. Why? Because, you know, honestly, because there's not that pressure. When that pressure is applied and the Holy Spirit, and you're yielding to the Holy Spirit, that pressure will, we're going to think of pressure like this, bro. Think of pressure as open up a door. You know, the pressure, you have to pull, that takes pressure. That's, you're putting pressure on the doorknob and you're pulling on it and, you know, and whatever, like opening up a, you know, or whatever, and then the pressure it takes to lift it up, you know, is it? So that pressure is what opens up things. What pushes you through things into a new place that no other thing will do. Not teaching, not somebody being nice to you, not even prophesying. You know, the pressure. And as you yield to God that pressure, I see God taking you places you always dreamed of going in your thinking, in your brain, in your creative ideas. Yeah, I'm sure you go a lot of places, but guess what, friend? You want to go deep, really deep with God? You want to go really deep with amazing creative ideas that you can get things done instead of in 5 years, in five weeks? Yeah, that's called Adam and Eve, they didn't labor and sweat. Everything was easy. You know, they still worked. They were tilling the garden, but there was no sweat. Everything just got fast and easy. And what it takes us, you know, a week to do in tilling and gardening, you know, they'd have it done in 5 minutes because there was no hindrance. There was no nothing to stop it. It just happened. There was no the wrong pressure making it hard to walk 5 miles because the wind's blowing 300 miles an hour or whatever. I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna get going. You know, and there's that wind of the wind of the world, the wind of trouble, the wind, the wrong kind of trouble, the wind of oppression, the wind of things that you know push you down. That God's gonna take that same pressure now, that same wind, and He's going to that pressure and that pushing to cause you to enter into places. Instead of it just taking you forever to get somewhere because the wind is so strong, that wind causes you to break through in your mind, in your soul, thinking creatively. In Jesus' name. All right, Nicole, Father, we thank for Nicole, God, for advertising, Father, for advertising, for the angels. You know, sometimes we go, well, God, you know, I got this thing going on over here, and it's really awesome, and you know, it doesn't seem like people value it, what's really going on, what's happening, and I feel like it's a value, it's a treasure, what you're doing through me, and people don't really value it yet. Well, that's exactly what happened with Joseph. Joseph felt like the most devalued, unvalued person on the planet, and yet he had that dream from God that just showed him he was going places, right? The dream realm for him was amazing, and it was just like it as though it happened. It was so, you know, that's why the dream realm, it's so amazing, man. The dream realm is so amazing, you know, because not only do you, when you enter the dream realm, you also have, with him, he had the interpretation of dreams, right? So when you have the dream realm, like you have the dream realm, and that dream realm can turns into a thing of being able to creatively interpret dreams, be able to creatively see into something, the mystery of something, because interpreting dreams has to do with the seeing what it really means and seeing through the creative eye of God, right? Yeah. And so I see this thing happening with you, and God opened you up to that place. Hallelujah. And when Joseph finally, after having this treasure dream from God, and feeling and starting to, you know, head toward his dream, head toward his vision, and feeling so devalued and so, and all that devaluing, God was saying with him, okay, what do you value most, Joseph? What do you value most? Your mama, your daddy, your brothers, your dream, your vision, or me? What do you value? What do you value? What do you value? What do you value? Where's your value at? Where's your value at? Where's your value at? And so little day by day, he began to find his value, what was important to focus on, what was important for what he was doing. And he would do, and he learned to do that. And then he entered that place, like kind of what I was telling Daryl Paul about getting things done, you know, and he was God, because the Bible says he got so much done. He was so blessed because God was with him. Amen. And he interpreted those dreams, and then he became valued. So he went to that time of devaluation. His father couldn't value him anymore. Daddy was no longer going, son, how do you like that coat I got you? I made that just for you, baby doll. I love you, honey. You're so sweet. You're so wonderful. You're such a great boy. You know, yeah. And he didn't have that. No one was valuing him. He learned to live in the value that God was giving him, that God had given him, to feed off that. when he remembered his daddy loving him, God would use it to transfer him over into how the Father loved him, how God Almighty loved him. Yeah, because God gave him the dream. And the value of it came forth after being devalued for so long. There was a strategy with that. God was showing him what you value most, obedience to me or having money. Obedience to me or being back with your daddy in Canaan land and having all your brothers, everybody looking at you like, you know, oh, look, Joseph, he is really hot. Look at him. Man, he's the main dude. He's got some really hot stuff. We just really like him. Now, what do you value, Joseph? What do you value? And he went through that stuff like we all do, transferring the wealth, what we value, from God. And then finally one day when the bear revealed to Joseph, revealed to Pharaoh, Joseph's dream. Wow, the dream. Dreams are amazing because they never really go away. They're right there in front of you, even though they seem to hide sometimes, they're right there in front of you to keep you dreaming. Dreamers dream. Because when God gives you a dream, that's a beautiful thing. Keep on dreaming. Keep on valuing what God says to value. Then pretty soon, one day, he was valued the whole nation. Amen. Pharaoh, the man who was running the country, valued him. Yeah, it was amazing. All right.
Michael.
9402. Hey, Michael. How are you doing, man? All right, good to have you, bro. Amen. You know why you're going to be faithful, brother? You know why you're going to be faithful? Oh, I know you're already faithful in ways, but you know what? I know you. You want to be faithful all the way. And you're like Peter. You find yourself coming up short. You find yourself like, God, why did I do? Why am I doing it? You come up short. And as you see the faithfulness of God be faithful to you in spite of yourself, just like God was with Abraham, God was faithful to him in spite of himself. Oh, who is this woman you're with, this beautiful woman? Oh, that's my sister. And she goes, yeah, we already decided to lie. But yeah, he's my brother. You know, God still protected him. God still turned around and blessed financially. Though he didn't trust him like he wished he would have. You know, God said, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to curse people who curse you, man. Yeah, that's my protection. I'm going to bless those who bless you. That's my protection. That's my blessing. And Pharaoh never even really did anything wrong. That God protected him, showing Abraham that he's faithful. Oh, you know why you're going to be faithful, bro? I mean, faithful like you want to be faithful, like all the way? Because of that, because of God's faithfulness being poured into you. Hallelujah. Bless him, Jesus, with the faithfulness of God, the faithfulness. Now, not because you were faithful, but because God was faithful. And seeing his faithfulness over and over again brought Abraham to a place of great faithfulness. Amen? Amen. And this is a new word God is starting to breathe into his people to open them up. Hallelujah. To open them up. It's about opening them up to who God is, to his names, brother, to his name, the names of God. All right, 769-220. Who am I talking to, Ruth Trump, please? This is Andrika. Yes. All right, Enrique, we got you. All right. Yeah, you know, I still think about the day that you sent me all those texts about the Antichrist. That was amazing. I mean, I saw a side of you. Honestly, God, I didn't know. It's like I saw an excitement in you for the glory of God. I saw an excitement in you for, you know, God doing miracles, God breaking through, God doing signs and wonders, God doing, you know, amazing things. It's like you got more faith than I do about all this. Oh, my God. Yeah, let's go for this thing. Let's just move it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's go. you were like a hunting dog hunting for that bird. You know, like I used to go hunting, and bird dogs are the best way to go hunting because they can see them when you can't see them, right? And that's what I see God showing you. You're going to be able to see things other people don't see. You're going to see into things and know things that other people aren't going to know or see. Yeah, like a bird dog. You know, the reason we have bird dogs, as you probably know this, but I mean, back when I used to go hunting all the time, you know, when I took my bird dogs with me, that little greyhound, I mean, you know, they could not only smell everything, they could smell the quail. They could smell the quail. I should quail hunt a lot, pheasant hunt. But they might go quail hunt. And we got the sand hills. I love to run. I love to run, hunt. And that dog, he would stop and he would just audit without, you didn't have to train him. He would point and he would look right at it like, there it is. There it is, Dad, you know, or whatever he thought I was. There it is, Papa. Get him. And I would look and I wouldn't see anything. I wouldn't see, I'd be looking going. So after a while, you kind of learn, you know, that he saw something in the bushes that were hidden, like behind the stand. He could smell them and he could see them moving around a little bit. Where I couldn't see them because they kind of, you know, they blended in. Like they were, that was why they were there, because they could blend in. And he would see them. He would see them and he would sit there and just look. Okay, I can't stand here all day long, Dad. Get after him because I gotta, you know, come on, do your job. So I'd lift my gun up, you know, I couldn't even see him. I'd lift my gun up, my shotgun, and all of a sudden they would go up in here and go boom, boom. And man, we get some food, bro. I love quail food. That's what they ate in the wilderness. Yeah, that's what they ate in the wilderness. It was God's provision. God's provision, Andrika. You're gonna see God's provision like you've never seen it before. You're gonna see it in the way people will just be, you'll be like the hunting dog. And you're the hunting dog and the hunter at the same time. And you're like going, you know, you see it and yeah, and go for it and find the treasures. Find treasures, find things that everybody else doesn't see. You're gonna be able to see it. You're gonna be able to see into something, see and know things that other people don't know. By the Spirit of God. Amen. Yeah, well, I tell you what, when you took your hunting dogs hunting with you, you knew you were going to get something. If there's anything, if it's out there, they're going to find it. Yeah, if it's out there, and Drink is going to find it. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Let it be done. Seal it by the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. All right, 831-596. Can I talk to Ruth from, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Noelle in California.
Hey, my friend Noelle. All right, Noelle keeps me up on a lot of things. Thank God for Noelle's knowledge. And she has a, you know, I told you we were going to talk about oil. I gave some information about oil. I think I said Texas had produced more oil than Arab countries. And you know, I kind of got part of it right, but anyway, so I said, can you help me find that? And I mean, she just went after it. And so the information realm with you, Noelle, I see God, just kind of like you did with the oil thing, how you know, because I gave you a word about oil last week, I think. And you know, then right after that, you know, things seem to kind of be opened up a little bit toward oil. And so you started seeing oil articles about oil and about Texas oil and how Texas produced, I guess I could just straighten out right now, Texas produced 40% of the oil. And as far as it is producing much oil as a country, it produced, Russia was first. Let's see, what was that? Yeah, here we go. I got it. Russia was first, Saudi Arabia, I don't know why I'm calling Arab countries, Saudi Arabia was second, and Texas was third in oil production in 2018. That is amazing. And then the U.S. Production in 2018 was bigger than anything in the world, and I think I mixed all that information together. And so Noelle, you know, finds all this stuff out, and I'm able to, you know, go, okay, my God. And this is what I see you doing, Noelle, is being able to kind of like the word I gave to Andrika about treasure hunting and finding treasures of information, hidden things. Even though it may not be hidden in some deep, dark hole, it may be hidden. Like when you read things, which will be hidden to other people, you're going to see it. And you go, you know, you may text, you know, somebody and say, hey, or me or whatever. You go, hey, Randy, see if you can see anything in this. I feel like there's something about this. Let's check this out because you catch it like a, like you sniff it out, like you're sniffing things out and sensing things. Your sensors are coming alive. Your sensory organs of the Holy Spirit, not just Women's intuition is awesome, and women do have intuition. It is amazing. It's an amazing gift. But you know what? What's much purer than that, as awesome as that is Holy Ghost's purest form of intuition or inspiration and sensing and knowing things is from the Holy Spirit, because it is perfect. You don't just feel it. The Holy Spirit doesn't let you feel it or sense it. You start knowing what it is if you meditate on it, if you grow. So God's going to start teaching you and showing you how to discover information, how to discover treasures of all kinds, not just treasures about oil, treasures about the gold and the silver and, when they came out of Egypt and all the different things. But God's going to show you, the things to invest in or tell other people or suggest or recommend. This is a possibility. You might try this. And show you treasures that people can invest in for the body of Christ. And not just treasures, financial treasures, that too, oil, gold, silver, whatever it is. It's not just one thing or the other. It could be many different things. And God showing you those treasures, showing you things that are going to be doing good that have not done well. But now, it's like you see a trend. You're going, there's something going on with this. I feel like, olive oil is going to start selling like crazy. Invest in olive oil, that type of thing. Invest in coconut oil or something, or invest in certain kinds of water, and it's going to go really, really big. It's like God's going to show you and unlock treasures for you and start showing you that stuff. So, to bless yourself only, and not only yourself, but also the body of Christ, right, and become a treasure hunter for the Lord. Yeah, and information and, treasures. Wow, that's awesome. Look, from oil to you name it, something like that. That's amazing. So thank you for that information, and I'll probably talk about that again tomorrow night and try to get it all straight. We'd like to get every little bit of information perfectly straight if we can. And thank you for that help, Noel. Appreciate it very much. All right. 612-805, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hello, Randy. This is Jess from Minnesota. Thank you.
Hi, Joyce. Hi. And who else did you say? Joyce and...
Joyce and also Blossom.
Blossom. Okay, I thought you said... Okay, great. Got it. Thank you so much. All right. And Blossom. I thought you said Blossom, but I didn't hear that. All right. Thank you very much for that. Thank you, Lord, for Blossom, God. I thank you for her hand being raised to God, her hand being raised to God. Your hand's being raised to God. It's not just literally physically your hand being raised to God only, but it is the fact that you're saying, God, here I am, send me. And sending me isn't like send me to Africa to preach the gospel or to America to preach the gospel or to some foreign weird country to preach, or to do something. It's just basically not for a particular thing, but it's saying, God, I'm available, and I see you being able to blossom, to be able to do anything. It's like God says you're going to be able to do, be all things to all people and be able to do things. And, so you got your hand raised up to God saying, God, whatever way you want to use me. He says, how many ways do you want to be used? You're going like, 100? How about 1,000? He goes, okay, got it. So God doesn't use you one way. He uses you 100 ways or 1,000 ways or whatever. Because your willingness to him and being able to be all things to all people, and even if you don't have an answer to something, you can help people find the answer to things. And if you get your hand up to God, saying, God, I'm yours. I belong to you. And God's going to show you things. He's going to open you up to things. So get ready for that. And he's very real. Amen. All right. Also for Joyce, thank you, Lord, for Joyce. In Minnesota, we thank you, Lord, Father, for giving her those infatuated with the things of God or infatuation with the things of God, Lord, that those things that you desire specifically for her to do. See, God can have several things for you to do at different times, but sometimes when something starts to really take hold of you and really, why is this desire taking hold of me so much to go, talk to somebody or go, look into a certain thing or go talk to a certain person. Why is this thing taking me over? It's because God is, moving you. He's giving you passion. He's giving you desire. He wants to show you that the desire realm is one of those powerful ways that God giving you the desires of your heart. He literally gives you the desires to do things. Sometimes I get overwhelmed to go do something. You know, I'm going, what am I going to the store over there, the store that I never go to? Why am I going to this store to look for something? You know, and I just overwhelmed with this desire to go down to that particular store and look for something. And while I'm walking around in there going, man, this is weird. And all of a sudden, you know, God opens up something for me to talk to somebody or say something to somebody or do something. You know, I'm going, oh, okay, thank you, Lord. So that desire realm, that passion, that ability to for God to be able to take over a part of your thoughts and say, and just, like, you know, fill you with the thought about that particular thing and stay filled with that thought and won't let you go until you do it, right? Because that's really what you want. You want to obey God no matter what. You want to do what he says. You don't want to live for him. You want to do what he wants you to do. And so that's the way he does it. He overwhelms you. It's not necessarily a dream and a vision. Those are all great. But it's passion. It's desires. And so, you know, when you find yourself overwhelmed, I got to call one of my family members or call us, you know, or try to get a hold of them. Why would I want to get a hold of them so bad? Because you probably need to, you know, he may not even always know why you're going to do it, just that you want to do it. Try your best, as you know, to go out there and try to find this situation, try to find a way to get a hold of them or whatever, because God's doing something. And he's leading you. That's the beautiful thing. He's leading you and guiding you. Yeah. All right. Beautiful. All right, 720-819, who am I talking to, Richard, please?
Jeff and Yuki in Colorado and Thailand.
All right, y'all are the Twin Cities. The Twin City. There you go. Thailand, Colorado. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for this time, as they're in the Twin Cities. There are two different cities in two different countries, actually. The Twin Countries. Maybe not the Twin Countries. Maybe there's something about the Twin Countries. Something about the Twin Countries. Well, they're not twin. But it's not like people you tell me, but there's something about that. Something about the Twin Cities and the Twin Countries. Twin Cities, Twin Countries. Yeah, and God's shown you, how to find the likenesses of each, you know, to find the likenesses of each and, you know, and make an investment or make an inquiry or something. Find what they may not be twins, and they may have different color hair, different color, you know, whatever, you know, they may be different colors. Maybe one may be black and one may be a white person, you know, two different people. But they're twins somehow. And the only thing that they do that is alike are their eyes. Their eyes and their nose. Their eyes and their nose are exactly alike. I mean, exactly. You can't tell them apart. If you examine them, they're exactly alike. And so, you know, but all the rest of them, they're completely different. It's like finding what each country has that is that is like a twin, like those things, those one or two things that match up, and God's showing you how to find those things. And this doesn't make any sense to me. I hope maybe it makes sense to you. I'm not sure, but I'm just saying what I see, and I don't understand what I see. Can you imagine being like John the Revelator, Jeff and you, John the Revelator, and seeing like and back in the days when Jesus walked, you know, seeing a major satellite and thinking, what is, I see an angel because it has wings in it. I see an angel in the heavens. It's not really an angel, it's really a satellite, you know. But he didn't know what he's seeing, so he just, that's kind of what I'm seeing with this, is like I see the thing with twin things that are twins. And twins are not always matching up on everything, but find the things that are twin, and you'll find a trend. Oh, find the things that are twin, and you'll find a trend. Ooh, now I know I'm going somewhere, baby. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. not you, baby. Holy Ghost, baby, right? I'm his baby. He's my. Yeah. Find the things that are twin, and there'll be a trend. Yeah. That's a mystery. I don't know what that means exactly, but it didn't make any sense to me, but hopefully God will show you something there. So thank you, Lord, for Jeff and you, God, that they will be able to find those things that are twin. And and make them into trends. Trends, what is a trend? I don't even know what a trend is. I kind of know what a trend is. Let's see if I can find the word trend here. Somebody can look that up for me. That would be awesome. If you can find it before me, that would be great. Meaning of trend, T-R-E-N-D. Okay, meaning of trend. Meaning of trend. Okay, here we go. I'm just searching it. I'm Googling it. It says, you know, a general direction in which something is developing or changing, an upward trend in sales and profit margins. A fashion, the latest trends in modern dance. Change or develop, this is the verb, change or develop in a general direction. Now you might look up the word there. I don't have it. This makes absolutely a little bit of sense to me, but it's a mystery word, so you have to meditate on this. What is a trend and an example of a trend? Here we go. Nicole, okay, Nicole, thank you. So we have somebody here that's a Professor Nicole. All right, trend, a general development or change in a situation or in the way that people are behaving. Ah, now that one I like because it's about people or a change in a situation or in the way that people are behaving. What an odd word, man. That is one of the strangest words I think I've ever got. I don't know. I get a lot of weird words, but beautiful words. Thank you, Jesus. You know what I mean, Jesus. Holy Spirit. He knows me. All right. Awesome, man. There you go, you guys. I don't know. You guys need to get a hold of that one because you might find yourself to be twins in some way, match up. I don't know. There you go, bro. I can't even explain that one. Thank you, Nicole, for that. That saved my hide. I mean, literally, I'm going like, I know this is something. I know I'm sure Jeff and you will find it. Sometimes God gives a treasure chest, and you have to dig the treasure. Sometimes you get the key, the word trend or the word twins, twin trend, is usually a key to open up something. So the information is the key, right? Yeah. Amen. So, man, God bless and help you find what you need to find. Use what she needs to discover, unlock, and make things happen, God, in Jesus' name, and bless her. Bless you, Jeff, and bring things together, God, as you bring things together for them. Open up in Jesus' name, and thank you for your favor and provision and a superabundance, in Jesus' name, in a superabundant way. All right, thank you. All right, let's go here to 915-248. Who am I talking to from, please?
Oh, Randy, this is Daniel in Dallas and Carmen in El Paso.
All right. D and C. All right. Carmen. I know she's there, but I'm going to write this down so I can look at this. Carmen in El Paso and Daniel.
I'm in Dallas, Prophet.
Dallas?
Yes, sir.
Dallas. Okay, guess. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm trying to get you in. All right. Daniel in Dallas. All right, thank you, Daniel. I'm just writing this down. I don't even know why I'm writing it down. I just write things down. Sometimes. Carmen in El Paso and Daniel in Dallas. Somehow those words, you know, I know Carmen's been in El Paso, you know. And you're supposed to tell me where they're from. You know you're doing it good, but it's like I'm going like, why do I want to write this down? You know, it's like unusual for me to write this down. Like I already know. I didn't know where Daniel was from necessarily. I think I've known, but, you know, I don't keep up very well. From Dallas and Carmen from El Paso. Carmen from El Paso. All right, let's go here and see what God leads. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Yeehaw, riding cowboy. I mean, it's like a treasure chest here. All right. My uncles used to sing a song. oh, my gosh. hey, y'all, I'm just prophesying, right? So don't be careful what you think. this is amazing. I literally all of a sudden thought about my dad's family, his brothers, they were all, two of them were singers, three brothers, two of them were singers. My dad was a singer and a music, you know, person, had his own band and whole thing. And then my uncle was a amazing singer. They're all, you know, singers. And I can't sing, but they could sing really good. And I remember him singing this song, and all of a sudden it just came to me. It just came to me about when I'm looking at the word El Paso. And it's just a, I don't know who sings this song, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to try to do it. I fell in love with a Mexican girl in El Paso, something like that. Who sang that song? I don't know. What is that song? Come on, Noel, you ought to know. You're a music person. Who sang that song? And I can think of the words. Y'all don't even know that song. Marty Robbins. What are the words to that song? Help me, Noel. I knew Noel would know that. She is a music person. Thank you, Noel. What is? Do you remember the words to that song, Marty Robbins? You know, don't call in here. You have to learn to be patient because I get on something. I don't get off of it until I finish it the best I can. My uncle used to sing this song. It made me think he was married to a white woman, my Aunt Susie. I used to wonder if he had a girlfriend in Mexico because he would sing this song. You know, I don't know what this has to do with anything, I could guess, but, you know, Marty, okay, I'm looking at Marty Robbins, since nobody's found it for me yet. American singer and songwriter, Marty Robbins song. Okay. Marty Robbins. Y'all aren't helping me very much. Come on. I need help over here. El Paso, that's the name of the song. It's El Paso. Okay. That is the name of the song. El Paso, that's the name of the song. That's even cool already. Okay, thank you, Noel. You're very helpful. Okay, I'm just going to sing this song to y'all. This is sounds. You know, to our first-time visitors, just sit back and relax. All right, this is what came to me and why I was writing y'all's name down and looking at your name. You know, I've known she's been in El Paso for a long time, right? All right, this is Marty Robbins. I don't know if I can sing it right or not. I might need some help. My uncle, Nolan, my favorite uncle, he was actually my favorite uncle. He was a kind, gentle soul. Who loved to sing. He was a great singer too. I mean, it really, and he would sing this song a lot. You know, here it goes. Out in the West Texas town of El Paso, I fell in love with a Mexican girl. Nighttime would find me in Rosa's Cantina. Which we ain't going to have that happen, right? Music would play and Felina would whirl. I didn't even know the words of this. All right, so it goes on down. Dashing and darling. Anyway, look up the song yourself, please. Because I don't know, this is like a little much for me tonight. Anyway, that's what came to me just like out of the blue. All right, so
Oh. Okay. I did some recording in his studio. You're kidding me. He was a little guy. Marty Robbins was? Now, is this Marty Robbins you're talking about? I can't see that. I don't have my glasses on. I have to open this up and see what it says. Yes. Oh, Marty Robbins had a studio? He did? Y'all, sorry. This is family stuff, all right? No way. You're tall. Okay, I've never seen you before. So that you're tall, and he's short. Marty Robbins was short. He was a little guy. Really? I did some recording. He did some recording in the studio. That's amazing. And that's amazing. Now, watch this, y'all. I'm ministering to Daniel from Dallas. Carmen, who I know lives in El Paso, I said, hang on a second, I got to write this down that I got Daniel back on. Where do you think you're from? Dallas. I'm writing this down, right, knowing that Carmen's in El Paso. And all of a sudden, I look at it, and my uncle's song came to my head just like that. Just like that, just by looking at the word El Paso. That's how it came. And I even spelt it wrong, and it still came up like that. So this is too much. I don't know. And then Martine, you know, the guy who wrote the song or produced the song, Marty Robbins, and Noelle's listening tonight, she actually did some recording in his studio. That is amazing. Yes, I'm calling you. His producer, Eddie Fox, with him. Oh, okay, Eddie Fox. I don't know who that is, but that is amazing. That's amazing, y'all. What God does on the show is just mind-boggling. You never know what you're going to get. You could get an Elvis song. Tonight it's Marty Robbins. And actually the name of the song, I didn't know the name of the song. I Googled Marty Robbins, and then it got all his songs. I said, well, I'll see if I can find this song so I can find the words. And it had literally the name of the song was El Paso. And then I heard my uncle. Then I heard my uncle, my beautiful, wonderful, precious man, married to my Aunt Susie, white as you can get. I don't know where we're going here. Yet singing that song, and he loved to sing it. He had the voice for it, too. They had records and everything. My dad had records. My uncle had records. Nolan Chandler. My dad, Fred Chandler. Okay, Noel said that was a huge country hit. Well, I know. I guess so, because my uncle sang it all the time. He loved to sing that song. So it was a big hit before time. That was a huge country hit before our time. Okay. Wow. And then this is like the word for them. You know, I don't know. I'm kind of embarrassed a little bit because of the. It's such a beautiful thing that God does on this show. You never know. It could be something about the Antichrist and, you know, preaching about the revival. And then next thing we're singing a song. Oh, yeah, I got to sing a song about Marty Robbins. I fell in love with a Mexican girl in El Paso. That is mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling. All right. I don't have anything else, man. I don't know. I don't understand that. It's like crazy. All right. Y'all forgive me, right? Unless you love me, I hope. I'm just a servant boy. I'm just the in-between kid. That's all. I don't know. Is it blame? You know, not, you know, whatever. All right. God bless. I must need this tonight. Dear Jesus, bless him with joy. Bless him with love. Bless him with freedom, God. Bless him, bless him, bless him. Bless him, bless him, bless him. Let the blessing of God be on their life, God. Amen. Share your love with them, your glory with them, your favor with them, Father. And the intrigue of serving Jesus together in God's mercies and his compassion. Woo! Hallelujah, man. That's a mind-boggler. Okay, I got to move on here. Don't ask me why that was prophetic word. 803-991. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Angela in South Carolina.
Hey, Angela. All right. All right, let's see what comes up for Angela. You never know. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. I just like, I don't know, man. I believe, but help my unbelief. That's what I always say. I believe, but help my unbelief.
Woo!
Hallelujah. That's the word for you, girls. Like God's showing you that, you know, it's just like with me. I talk about this a lot lately, right? The higher your calling is, you know, this is what you live with. I mean, you live with this thing of, okay, yeah, God, that's really big, man. That's way big. That's big. That is huge. Who's that for? Oh, you want me to do me? You mean me? Me, God, you know, right? Me, Randy, me? Yeah, you. I'm going, are you sure? I believe. But help my unbelief. Oh, I believe, but help my unbelief. So that's just what I do. I literally do that. I don't sing quite that good most of the time. But, you know, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know, why is that? Because I'm a doubter? No. It's because, you know, God's stuff is so beyond me. I'm just like going, you know, God, are you sure talking to the right person? Because I don't know how to do any of this stuff. I mean, honest to God, I mean, I'm not trying to be humble. I'm not very humble, and I'm not trying to be humble. All right? So I don't, you know, it's like, I go, God, you know, I believe it out of my unbelief. That's not a humble statement. That's reality. Because of what he tells me, because of what he says to me, because of the way he loved, the first time he loved me when I got born again, just loving me. I felt such love. I'm going, I walked in this realm for I don't know how long, you know, I don't know how long. I can't say I don't want to stretch anything, but I don't want to underage either. I walked in this love, man. I thought, God, how could you love me? I mean, I know, I believe, but help my unbelief. My unbelief is like, how can you love me, you know, like this? I mean, I wasn't an evil person, but I just want to, you know, I'm weak. I can't. You know, my friends could all quit doing things. I couldn't quit because I was so weak. You know, I just needed help. I needed something. And, you know, so when I got saved, man, I lived in this thing of I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe, I know. I experienced your love, but dear God, I'm having a hard time believing, you know, you sure you didn't get me mixed up with somebody else? Man, my grandma must have prayed like heavy. She must have made some deals with you, God, or something. I don't know what she did, but my mama too, some, but my grandma was Baptist, Holy Ghost Baptist, you know, not spirit-filled, but yeah. Oh, yeah. She didn't want her family going to hell. She wanted her family serving Jesus. And I guess this is all for you, Ansley. You know, this is all for you, right? I'm talking about you. I'm talking for you in your behalf or something. It's like God teaching you that believing, I believe in him, I believe, isn't like some negative thing. It's like it's so big, it's so amazing, it's so glorious. You feel the drawing of God for something awesome, and yet you're going like, yeah, but is it really going to happen? You know, like that's what I say. Is that, I know you tell me it's really going to happen, God, but is it really, really going to happen? I mean, really, really? It is really, right? I mean, I believe. I'm not an unbeliever. I believe. And I know you're talking to me. I know you say, but, you know, help me to, you know, confirm it for me, like, you know, Gideon and Moses and all those brothers. So, God, I thank you for showing her how to learn to live with the fact that that's a good thing, because it means that God's drawing you in and showing you things that you're like going, God, you know, are you sure that we can do that? I mean, that's amazing. Yeah, he says. Yeah, yes and amen. Just say yes and amen. Yes and amen and yes and amen and yes and amen, girl. Just say yes and amen. Woo! And then when in your all your honesty, you go like, I believe, but, you know, and don't look at that as some bad thing. Look at that as like it's a part of you that needs help to get there. Moses needed help. He said, God, I believe. I know you're right in front of me. I mean, this bush is burning. I hear your voice talking to me, and this is amazing, powerful, and I'm not dreaming because I've poked myself already three times with my rod, and this is real. I know this is, but I, you know, me, you're talking about me, I stutter. And there he was talking to the people that people still talking about, Moses. The Jews say, they're Moses people, man. Yeah. They even said to Jesus, well, Jesus, we don't, well, Moses, we know, was a man of God. You, we don't know who you are. Moses was amazing. But when you look at his life, man, he was like, you know, and that's why God could use him so powerfully, Angela. Amazing. So learn to know that that's not a bad thing. Get in the same way as we talked with me and Jeff. Those two. 804-218, you want to talk to your friend, please?
Angie from Virginia. Can you hear me?
All right, Angie, thank you. Yes, I can. Thank you very much. All right, God bless. All right, thank you, Angie. Thank you, Lord, for that servanthood. You know, the Bible talks about the servants become the greatest, right? Servants become the greatest. So we can all learn how to become servants. You know, you already have a lot of that down. You're a servant. I'm the same way. I like to serve. That's why I never consider myself to be a leader, because I like serving. I actually like, you know, not having to have the responsibility of doing everything, being you know, responsible for everything, and just helping somebody get their thing done, get their vision done, get their job done. I'm a helper, man. I want to just, you know, take care of me, but I'm a server. I love serving. I mean, I literally love serving. It's just part of, you know, it's just something I'm born with, I guess. I'm not sure. And same thing with you. You know, you love to serve. You love to do. You love to, you know, and that thing in you is there because God, if you have yielded this to God, God's going to use your servanthood to make you great, to bring you great things, to show you great things, to bring you great things, right? Because of a servant. Like, I think that's the way Ruth Efflin probably was. You knew her. I didn't know her, but she was a precious servant, and you could tell she was a servant, man. And servants, when they become really thralled with God and learn his ways and learn how to serve him with his ways instead of just, you know, whatever, then that causes, that creates greatness. In other words, people like going, and like they did with Ruth, like, hey, can you come to my church? Can you come to my TV program? Can you prophesy to me? Can you talk to me? Can you come to my city? Yeah, because she went from, you know, being a little servant girl to being, you know, great, greatly desired, greatly wanted. You know, and it's not that that's our motive, but being a servant means that if you're doing it and you learn how to do it God's way, then you're going to end up having God give you things that people are going to want. They're going to desire. They're going to need it. It's going to help them. It's going to change their life. It's going to bless them. So he's serving it to you like he's the cook and you're the server. And, you know, whatever he serves, you just deliver it. That's what a true servant is whatever the big boss, the big man upstairs, the cook who cooked the greatest, most, you didn't cook it, but you deliver it. Yeah, you serve it. And you're serving that glorious, amazing thing that God is bringing to them, wanting to give to them, and it's a blessing. It's blessed. Therefore, people want it. That's the way Ruth was, because she was a servant, a true servant. And she earned her not care what people thought. And to do what God thought. And that's what makes us the greatest servants, is to not fear what people think, but care what God thinks. Because God will do all the thinking for us about how to deal with the people. Because he does care about people, but he cares about them in a holy way when we care about them in a human way. And you put human and holy together, servanthood and holy God, he serves some amazing, amazing things. Amen. 903-619, you want to talk to your friend, please? Let's see, you know what? I'm going to go to, Nikki is there. Okay, Nikki is there. Nikki, yeah, I thought it. 903-619?
Hello?
Yes, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hello?
Yes, who am I talking to you from?
Oh, this is Megan from Texas.
Okay, Megan. Thank you, Megan. Thank you. Let's pray for you. All right, tonight. Well, thank you, Lord, for Megan. Thank you, Jesus, for Megan, God. And I thank you, God, for showing her how to, package things together that create a good, it's like a meal, you know, like you put a 5-course meal together, or you put a meal together, you put certain ingredients together that make a particular food taste right. Learning how to mix things together that create something beautiful, create something great. Like you can, some people, like a florist. A florist can put this flower with that flower and that flower and put two things together. It's like when they put it all together, people go, I want that. Why? Because it creates this special design, this special thing. And so God's showing you how to put things together, how to package things. It can be a business deal. It can be put this thing with that thing and the thing, and people say, what do you want for this? Well, you bought it for $50, but you can sell it for $5,000. Why? Because it's packaged together in a way that you're going, like, this is really special. This is really amazing. Be able to do something with it. You know, see what I'm saying? So be able to package things together, package thoughts together, package information together, and like puzzles are many pieces put together, and it creates a big picture. So God's showing you how to walk in that, live in that place of packaging things, and putting them in a way that will be desirable, be wanted, and amen. So, it can be your thoughts. It could be the way you treat people. It could be, you package things. You learn how to treat people in a certain way. Like, I do this and this and this for them, and they just like go, wow, who are you? You're like, you're amazing. You know, like packaging and learning how to put things together that are that work well. Amen. God's giving you a gift for that. Let him show you how to activate it. All right, 863-605.
Hey, Randy. It's Charles and Nikki. And could you pray for my mama?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. All right, Nikki.
Thank you.
I'm sorry I missed you earlier. I know you texted me and you said you got knocked out of line, but you know how I am. I apologize. But thank you for being here, and pray for Sue, your mama. I know she broke her hip. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for doing it, finalizing things, getting things finalized, getting things done that have been undone, and get them done, closing the deal, finishing out, whatever the thing is. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Finishing things out, like, getting, well, I keep getting this thing about getting your house in order. Like when you get your house in order, it's like you make things sure that, your insurance is, whatever it is, it's all kinds of things, putting things in order. So sometimes putting things in order can be like, when Elijah put the altar in order, and the fire fell, so it's always like, it's kind of like putting things in order is mean get ready to die, we talked about this before. That's something I think I prayed for. But I wonder if that's some of that stuff. But getting things in order, it can be that too. And so here I'm getting another word about this, something like this. So hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for helping Sue to get things in order. Like Elijah got his altar in order, let her get her altar in order so that she will know that the living God is the living God in a powerful way. And that there's only one way to serve him. And that when you do that, the fire falls. Getting things in order means you go about it God's way. And when you go about things God's way, then the fire falls. In other words, God goes, yeah, I'm pleased with that. Now you got it right. You got that right, and I'm going to prove it to you by, the fire falling or the blessing falling, whatever. So thank you, Jesus, for that and the family and all the things for training Nikki. God, in that training season, we're always being trained. I don't know about you, but God's always training me. He's always showing me how to flow better, do better. I'm content most of the time, but I'm not satisfied at all. Not satisfied. I'm craving. Why? How in the world, the Bible says, when you drink these waters, you never thirst again. And Jesus told the woman at the well. I don't know. I drink and I want more. I think it just simply means that it never runs out, that we never do have to go. If we want a drink, we get a drink. And teaching Nikki how to drink from the well,
whether so that she's never thirsty. Jesus told the woman at the well, he said, when you drink this water, if you'd ask me for this water, if you'd ask me for this water, it would be water that would never you'd never thirst again. So you're like, oh, I want that water. I mean, right away that touched her. Right away she wanted that. And so he started, amazingly, he started prophesying to her and speaking to her. And so the well of the prophetic opened up, and revival happened, right? Because he gave her water from that place. So, you know, once you drink of it, you want more, but you don't ever have to be thirsty, right? You always have access to it and learning how to access it. You know, accessing it, it's always there, and to access it and to never be thirsty again. As he says, you'll never thirst again. And I'm thinking, I didn't understand it for a while ago, but as soon as I got a drink of it, I had to have more. I'm thirsty. How can he say, you never have to go without? Amen. You never thirst. You never go without. So thank you, Lord, for that. And so he gave her water, that prophetic water, the word of knowledge, the gift of the supernatural realm to her, about who she was and for her five husbands and the one she was with now, she was married to, and that read her mail. And God used that one person to turn the whole town around. One word from the river of God, the drink of heaven, and she took that one drink. She took that drink she took it to the city, and she started giving everybody a sip of it, like, man, you got to taste this. You got to taste this. You got to taste this. You know, because she was carrying water back, but this time she was carrying back prophetic water or supernatural water in Jesus' name. And so thank you, Lord, for that. And then and all the people came out to see Jesus. That was a big thing for them to do that. So thank you, Lord, for that outpouring. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for Charles. Well, I think the same thing for him. I think for the spirit of revival, the spirit of outpouring, the spirit of hearts being broken, hearts being changed, the people that want to change, that can't change, that Charles will be able to give them the word, the information, the prayer, the friendship, the touch that will cause their heart to break open for them. Do they want it to break open, but it takes a special touch, a special move, a special care, special brokenness. Sometimes we don't need teaching. If teaching doesn't break us through, you know, it may help, but sometimes the brokenness of the Holy Spirit breaks us open so that we can receive, so we can not just get right on the outside, but get right on the inside. Because we get broken, and we get broken, you know, that's really what we all want. We all want to be able to break through this hard shell of our everyday life and live in the flow of God's Spirit and the flow of God's love. Amen. Help him with that, God. Show him those ways of giving favor in Jesus' name, unmerited, undeserved favor, grace. Amen. All right. 734-672. Who am I talking to, friend, please?
Jennifer from Michigan.
Jennifer? All right, Jennifer, good to have you. Thank you, Lord, for the spices of the oil, the spices, you know, of the spices. Hold on a second. Let me look this up. Hang on just a second, please. Spices. I know there's something here about the spices. For worship and the spices for, you know, the things of God. Hang on a second. All right, hang on. I'm going here. Here we go. Uh,
All right. So this has to do with anointing spices. The spices the women brought to Jesus' tomb were intended to eliminate such an odor and honor him. Let's see here. Different spices. Yeah, frankincense. There we go. That's what I was looking for. Frankincense in Exodus chapter 30, verse 34, and Matthew 2, verse 11. I think it was talking about the frankincense and myrrh that they brought to Jesus. This is the spices they use in the anointing. This is one of the things I want to talk about, too, about the holy anointing oil described in Exodus chapter 30, 22 through 25. Was created from pure myrrh, 500 shekels, sweet cinnamon, and I think there were actually five different ones. That's only three, I think. But yeah. So anyway, this has to do with I just want to release this on your life, your priesthood, the God, and connecting you to your priesthood with the spices. And for the priest and for the purpose of anointing with holy oil, that oil was not to be used for anything else, but for the sanctuary. It's a particular thing God gave, special ingredient that God gave, and they couldn't use it for anything else. Well, I thank you that all the things she's been going through have been, you've been pouring spices into her life, God, for a particular anointing in Jesus' name, to anoint her with oil. Oil with all the different spices, the cinnamon and the myrrh and all the things in it in Jesus' name that made it smell beautiful, that took the stench of death away from her, God, that this anointing oil that you anointed her with death in every fashion, in every form, emotional, mental, spiritual, financial, in every way, physical, in Jesus' name, and bring her into that place of that knowing that she's a sweet aroma in the nostrils of God. Hallelujah. Sweet aroma, God, that her prayers are being heard, that her prayers are sweet. They're not bitter. They're not, they're sweet prayers. The prayers that arouse God to come and, like when somebody turns on the barbecue pit next door, you know, I'm going like, man, I wasn't hungry, but now I'm starving. It's like that sweet aroma makes God hunger for you. You know, and drawn out of God, and he will draw it out of you. How do you get God to draw it out of you? You draw it out of him by what? The spices and the myrrh and the aloe. You know, in Jesus' name, show her how that those ingredients are in her life, God, and they're already in there. And God, she just learns how to, as they get mixed together through all the different struggles and battles she's going through, how you've mixed it all into one thing. In Jesus' name, an anointing, oh God, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For offering sacrifices and praises to God. Amen. And knowing God's hearing you. Amen. In Jesus' name. All right. All right. 214-701, who I talk to you from, please.
Hi, this is Latoria from Texas.
Hey, Latoria. Latoria, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Latoria. We thank you, Lord, for her friendship with God. God, for your friendship. And, I've given this word a couple times lately, and really two or three times in my whole ministry, I remember, but I'm thinking about this word right now about being friends with God. And because when you're friends with, when you learn how to be a friend of God, Latoria, then, you know, yes, God is God and he's almighty, but he's also, we see where different people, Moses, Abraham, others were friends with God. And so as God's showing you how to be his friend, then that friendship thing with God develops into friendship with other people where when you're a friend to them, if they're they are able to receive your friendship, that's a special thing for you to befriend them. And that friendship that God's developing in your life for relationships and for friends and for business and for different things, you know, that thing, that creative ability to befriend people and be an instant friend with them and go, I think I can trust you. I think I really is loving Jesus and being his friend, a friend of God, Victoria, that doesn't serve God for what he can do for you.
but serving God because you love him, because you care about him, and that he cares for you, right? And because you know God loves you first and gave his life for you, that you receive that love, and that love, that pure love, that first love, that calls you to be friends with him, that you don't love him just for what he can do for you, though he does much for us and wants to do much for us, that we're not in it just for that. We're in it, God, because I want to be friends with you. I want to know what bothers you. I want to know what makes you happy. I want to know what you're thinking about. I want to know what I can do to help you. You know, I'm not just here to get you to help me all the time. I want to help you, God. How do you want me to help you, God? And, you know, who do you want me to touch? What do you want me to give to? What do you want me to plant seed into? What do you want me to plant my time into and my prayers and my concern and my friendship into? That will make you happy, God, that will be for your benefit, for your sake. And as you do that, Latoria, God will make you friends with anybody. You'll be friends with the wealthy, with the poor, with the needy, with everybody. Amen, in Jesus' name. And that favor that God gives through friendship opens up all kinds of things. So open her up to that, Jesus. She should be friends, the friend of God, the friend of Jesus, and that friendship will, as she develops a friendship with God and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, that friendship will break loose, and the anointing of that, the drawing of that, will draw in friends that will, people will trust her and love her and, yeah, be her real friend. Love her, be her friend, not for what she can do for them, but for who she is. And then caring more about her than they care about themselves. And that's because that's what you're showing her how to do, Father, in Jesus' name. And the rewards of that are amazing. All right, 919-995, you want to talk to her from, please? Cheryl, thank you, Cheryl. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl. Tonight, Jesus. Thank God for enduing her with power from on high to be able to be, to do whatever she needs to do. Like, being endued with power from on high, Cheryl, means that you get blessed by God, empowered by God, information from God, courage from God, to be able to do things that you can't do of your own self. In other words, you're inadequate, you're unable, which is a beautiful thing, because when you're weak, he becomes strong, right? So it helps you tap into the strength of Jesus, the strength of God. And thank you, Lord, for that thing in her life, God. Well, she taps into your strength, God, and she quits trying to figure out everything and do everything on her own strength, which ends up failing, but not the strength of God in her. That when she becomes weak and depends on God to be her strength, God, you will give her the strength, the supernatural strength to do whatever she needs, courage to go face something, do something, deal with something. You'll give her the courage, God, and she will cry out for it. She knows that you can give it to her. You will empower her, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 334-590. Who am I talking to, Ruth, from, please? Are you there? Jayla. All right, thank you for Jayla tonight, Father. We thank you, Lord, for casting you know, her doubts, her cares upon you, Father. Because truly the only person that really cares for you, as far as without any strings attached, without anything, is your God, your Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, he lays down his life for his brother. Amen. Without strings attached, without anything. He sets you free, and he doesn't even say, well, now you got to serve me because I set you free. I paid off all your debts. Now you got to serve me. He said, no, I'm setting you free. If you want to serve me, you serve me. You don't want to serve me, you don't have to serve me. I give you complete freedom and complete liberty to do whatever, that free your will, to do whatever you want to do, because I set you free and paid off all your debts and do all the things. You can serve me or you cannot serve me, and I'm still going to love you. What you going to do? Yeah, and I thank you, Lord, that as Jayla walks in that place, God, and realizes that you're gonna totally paid off her debts, she taps into that, God, and realizes that by your grace, by your unmerited favor, Father, that she will start walking in a place of freedom, and her debts being paid, God, and she'll be able to forgive others of their debts, not just financial debts, but also personal debt, emotional debt. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You will begin to show her things through 2020 vision, God. She will see them clearly and plainly, and not from a wounded heart or from a hurt heart, but from a healed heart. In Jesus' name, amen, and walk with God. A blessing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, 402-650. Who am I talking to you from, please? Okay, hang on a second. All right, 402-650, can I talk to you from, please? Thank you for 402-650. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And thank you, Lord, for my friend, God, that you will reveal to them your grace, your merited favor, Father, that they could try to live off their own merits, their own works. And whether they're doing everything right or not, God, they learn to live off your grace like Paul the Apostle had to learn to do. Paul was a very merited person. He was a very law-abiding Pharisee. And he learned how to perform, and, you know, he was trying to please God. He had to learn how to live by grace, unmerited, undeserved favor. Amen. In Jesus' name, which took him dying of his own strength and drawing from the strength of God from within him, Christ in you, the hope of glory. God, I thank you for my friend, God, for to be able to walk in your glory, be able to step into your glory, God, in Jesus' name, and watch your glory, your presence, be upon them in Jesus' name to walk in the place with God where they will not fear, where they will fear and fear and tremble before God, because God is God. He is the Lord God Almighty. And in this new spirit of worship upon them, God, in Jesus, they will worship you in spirit and in truth. Amen, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 503-318, who I talk to you from, please?
Yeah, this is Robin from Oregon.
Hey, Robin.
Hi, Randy.
Hi, good to have you. All right, thank you very much. As you know, we don't talk on Wednesdays, but thank you. Very nice to hear your voice. God bless you. Did you have were you trying to give me another name to pray for or something? I might have cut you off a little earlier.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't cut me off.
Thank you.
All
right, thank you. I want to make sure. All right, thank you, Robert. Sometimes people want to pray for, you know, whatever. So I'll make sure I didn't catch up for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the sacrifice of praise. Showing, Robin, the sacrifice of praise. There's a scripture that talks about that. Let's go. The sacrifice of praise. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Sacrifice of praise. Okay, Googling this, as you know. Maybe a song. I wish I had some real folks in the house tonight who say, I don't always feel like lifting my hands. I want to teach you a real simple song tonight. Our brother Elder Eugene Brown is going to sing it for us. Okay, I guess he sings a song. I don't know. I don't know who that is or what that is. Hebrews 13:5. We bring a sacrifice of praise. We choose to believe that even though life is not going as we think it should, right? Praise him anyway. What is the sacrifice of praise? I'm just reading this information, right? And then we'll go from there. Sacrifice of praise of Psalms 116 is also another place. It's a song of praise and thanksgiving for one whose prayers for help has been answered. The worshiper sings of the Lord's great deliverance from a profoundly distressing, life-threatening predicament. Amen. In response to the Lord's goodness, the psalmist vows publicly to bring an offering of sacrifice and praise to the temple. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all of his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, and in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Amen. Psalm 116, 17 through 19. Wow, interesting. I just Googled that and what I came up with. Yeah, so, you know, God really showing you the sacrifice of thanksgiving or thank offering falls into the category of peace offering. I would offer numerous occasions. I don't know. I Googled that and read that. Thank you, Lord, for my friend Robin's God, and thank you, Jesus, for how she, you know, many times, the sacrifice of praise in her heart, God, that you're renewing that covenant with her, that renewing the covenant. I see you renewing a covenant, maybe a fresh new covenant or something. I'm not sure what that is, a fresh new covenant, and God renewing that and bringing before God, like bringing a special offering before him of praise and thanksgiving and saying, God, I thank you. I recommit to you. You're making a new covenant with for a new life, for a new season, for a new time. And God's saying, okay, you got it, Robin. Done. Amen. Let it be done. Wow. Interesting. Very interesting. All right. God bless you, Robin. That was fast, but that was to the point. I don't know what that was. That was amazing. All right. 214-434. Let me talk to you, please.
This is Kimberly in Texas. Will you pray for me and my friend Derek?
Yes. All right. Of course. Thank you, Lord, for Kimberly and Derek, God. We thank you, Lord, for joining together, God, for moving all the walls and all the hindrances, and God, bringing those things together with peace. Bring peace where peace reigns, you know, God, and uncover everything, God. Uncover those things that, you know, sometimes we have things that hinder us. We don't even know it. Just little things, little fears, little questions, little things. So thank you, Lord, for uncovering them and settling them and blessing them, God, and causing Kimberly and Derek, Father, to walk in spirit and in truth together, in the spirit and in truth, and with each other, and open up their hearts, God, to agree to disagree on things. Sometimes we're not always going to agree on everything, but to agree to disagree, and keep that fellowship and that unity going on. Amen. And trusting God to work things out. You know, we plant, we water, but God gives the increase, or God gives the change. We can't change people. He can't change you. You can't change him. We put each other in the hands of God. We plant. Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. Right? We do plant, we do water. There's part of the work that we do, and then God gives the increase. In other words, the change comes in your relationship when you plant and water. And watering means nurturing. Watering means, you know, that plant needs water to grow. So sometimes we water each other and show them how to water each other, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So they can grow together, be together, do together in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 303-517. Can I talk to you again, please?
Hello? Hello? Randy, it's Mike and Veronica.
Hey, y'all.
All right, y'all.
Man.
All right.
Good to have you, y'all. Texas boys, huh? Texas, you get that y'all thing going on? You sound like you're in Texas, Africa or something. I know there is no Texas, Africa, but whatever. Yeah, like the mission field. The mission field isn't just a thing of winning people to Christ, doing some, you know, thing, you know, mission field for God, but it is, the mission field becomes every area. You know, you're there to reach people's souls. You're there to reach their, them with their financials, help them with, you know, the market area, to, you know, reach the market and to, you know, evangelize and to bless. And so, you know, gathering the harvest. And the Lord says it's harvest time. Time to gather the harvest. And realize that harvesting isn't just harvesting souls. It's harvesting financials. It's harvesting, friendships. It's harvesting all kinds. So it's harvesting money. It's harvesting, you know, business. It's harvesting all that stuff. So, Lord, I just come into agreement that we break every hindrance. We break every fetter, God, in Jesus' name. And, God, thank you for helping them to find their way where there seems to be no way. Those ways where that secret place where the natural eye can't find it, but it's a secret. That you've done all this, do all these things in this work in their life, God, to open their eyes, to see things that other people can't see, to know things that other people can't know by the Spirit, sensing things, feeling things, knowing things, sniffing them out like your dog. You have a dog, you know, your precious dog. Who can sniff that? This dog can sniff and hear things we can't even, you know, even imagine. And so, you guys being able to sniff out and smell out things that, where there's treasures hidden, where there's things that need to be found, and being able to find those things and uncover those things and dig those things, like being a treasure hunter in Jesus' name and opening up those things. But you have to find them. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Asking you shall receive, that kind of thing. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for an anointing of what to ask for and where to ask for it. You know, sometimes it's not about just, you know, asking means God showing you what to ask for. Because sometimes things don't get open to us. As you know all this. Things don't get open to us if we don't ask correctly. So a lot of times I ask God what to ask for, okay? What do you want me to ask you for? Because if we don't realize that asking the right question is what gets asking, you shall receive. You know, we could ask and receive a lot of things, but the main thing he wants us to receive is what the next thing is, the next track, the next place, the track of land, the track of, in Jesus' name. So open them up to that realm of treasures, God, and sniffing them out like a dog could sniff out a, I talked earlier with somebody about my dog, I used to take my dog's hunting. My hunting dog, and man, you know, they could find anything, man. If it was out there, they're going to find it, right? And I thank you, Lord, that for about them, God, that Michael Brunick will find those things. They will sniff them out in Jesus' name and dig them up and know what to do with them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Because they're asking God for what to ask for so they can ask for the right thing, to the root thing, go to the root of things, asking root questions. Not just fruit, surface questions, but asking root questions in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And then open that up, God, right now. Open that up to discern, to know, to feel, touch. Amen. Catch the veins. When you go digging for gold, you find a vein of gold, and you keep getting that vein until you've got it all. Amen. To find it, to search, to seek and find it, and knock, and it's open in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, 312-841, who am I talking to me from, please?
Hey, this is Marja from Illinois.
Oh, hey, Marja. All right, Marja, good to have you tonight. All right, thank you. Margin. That really did. All right, Marja, God bless you, Marge. You know, I just sense a spirit of prayer. Prayer is being able to say the right words and to know the right words to say. Like I was talking about the caller before, that about, you know, asking the right question. Prayer is finding the right questions to ask. That when you ask the right questions, like, you know, sometimes we're not supposed to say, you know, is this the right house? We're supposed to say, is this the right property? You know, so instead we're praying, oh, is this the right house? When the Lord wants you to ask for, is this the right property? You know, and so very important. Instead, we're looking for the right house. He says, well, look for the right property. You know, you see the difference? And so when you see that, Marge, I know you do, but to see that, to understand that, to ask the right prayers, ask for, you know, the treasure is finding the right prayers and the right words to say. Like faith confessions are should be more understood as the right information. Faith confession is not just saying a bunch of good stuff, hoping he'll hit something. It is saying the thing that God wants you to say. It is praying the prayer or saying the words in prayer that God goes, yeah. And so now if you pray instead of looking for, you know, the right house, you're looking for the right property, then you move to the next realm of blessing. And that is, okay, you got it settled. I'm not looking for a house. I'm looking for property. Right, God? Right, God? Yeah. Yes. Yes. Right. Property. That's the right prayer. So you start getting in that vein of, you know, praying right and believing right and knowing right. And you start looking for the right things. Right? If you're looking for, you know, a husband or looking for a wife or looking for a car, look, whatever you're looking for, say, God, what kind of man do you want me to look for? What kind of man do you want me to have? And start asking. And start letting God show you. And when he blesses you, you know, give him the praise for it. Give him the glory for it. And you know, every time he gives you a little breakthrough, Margie, you give him praise. Oh, God, I don't take advantage of anything. You know, I'm not taking it for granted. I mean, anything. God, every little breakthrough. God, I give you praise for that little bitty thing, a little bitty need, a little bitty thing, but thank you, Jesus. And the more you give him praise for those little bitty things, those little bitty things grow into more things and more things and more things and more things. So learning how the ways of the kingdom is what gets you where you're supposed to go. It will get you where you're supposed to be going. And hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, open that up, God. Open that up, Father. Because, you know, the Bible says when you pray the right prayer, you get the answer. And so I thank you, Jesus, for that right information. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then what happens? What's that called? It's called powerful prayer that gets things. I want to get things because it's demanding and give me what I want right now. You know, I know that's not you. This is you, right? God, whatever you want, what do you want? Show me what to ask for. Because the keys to opening the door to that thing is asking God what to ask for, praying the right word. The right word is the key. You got a key for the basement. And you want a key for the, you know, the master bedroom, you know, you're not going to be able to get into the master bedroom with the key for the basement, right? They're different keys. So the right key gives you entrance into the right thing. And that's called a powerful prayer life, where you prayer is finding out what God wants and praying that prayer. In other words, saying those words in earth that are being said in heaven and doing that. So God, open up your prayer life. Amen. In Jesus' name, it calls you to be able to, you know, prayer is basically communion with God and saying what God is saying. Confession is saying what God is saying. It's not just saying what the Word says. Oh, I'm confessing the Word of God. Yeah, that's cool. That's great. But are we confessing what God is saying? Thousands of different things that can be in the Word of what's going on. What's God saying? What particular word? So God, show us the particular thing that you're saying. Teach me how to say that. And once you come in that, it's like coming in sync with something. And as soon as you come in sync with it, it falls out of heaven. Like, boing, here it comes, boing. You know, it's like getting the key for the right door. You unlock the door. There it is. You know? Yeah, the words. The keys are words. And information. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 111, who I talked to from, please. direction it is. Yeah, I think it's probably Carmen. I don't know, but in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for all the surprises, God, the good surprises, the fun surprises, the surprise of being cared for, being loved, being befriended, having something exciting, things to look forward to, giving something to, literally stand upon and look forward to. God, that's called hope. That hope comes when if we're hoping for just anything, it's not going to be, but we're hoping for the thing that God has chosen, that God wants. When that starts happening, you know, faith, hope, and love, then, you know, that hope turns into love, and that becomes a beautiful thing. In Jesus' name, faith, hope, and then love. So, yeah, amen. So open that up, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. I'm guessing that's Carmen, but whatever. 864-313. Who am I talking to you from, please? All right, 864. Thank you, Lord, for my 864 friend tonight, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the counter strategies of God. God gives counter strategies to counter the enemy. You know, like, for example, you know, in the prophetic realm, Elijah would know when the king's enemies would be down a certain road. He said, don't go down that road because they're waiting for you. It is a counter strategy. God give a counter strategy through a word, through information. And may God give you counter strategies for things that when you're walking down a road that, you know, may not be the right road, may be stepping into, you know, a problem or trouble or something that's not blessed of God, that God tells you, you know, counters the strategy of the enemy. Everything God wants you to do, becomes a place of so those counter strategies, God, that you give them, that the way the enemy can't get anything on you, that the counter strategies of worship, the counter strategies of just getting the word from God, getting information from the Lord, desiring to do a certain thing at a certain time, you know, and go one way instead of going another way. Just counter strategies of all kinds, in your thoughts getting, you know, all of a sudden God says, you know, he gives you a desire to do a certain thing because you went that particular way instead of another way. You know, you were saved from, you know, some trouble or whatever. Counter strategies. Thank you, Lord, for those things in Jesus' name. Amen. 847-239, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, this is Stephanie from Illinois.
Hi, Stephanie. Stephanie, thank you, Lord, for Stephanie tonight, God. Thank you, Lord, for her heart, God, for all the parts of her heart that have been broken, that have been crushed, that have been messed up. God, we thank you, Jesus, that you're, just like with others, God, in the word of God, where they suffered things, you use that very thing to bring glory to them, God, because I see the precious, tender, loving touch of God coming in and just showing you his tenderness and his love and his kindness and how precious he is and how sensitive he is, and how much he understands your pain. You're suffering, you know, the things that you enjoy and you love. He really watching over you and showing you that he cares for everything that you care about, and the things he wants to change, he'll give you a different desire for those things. You'll just stop desiring one thing and start desiring another, you know, and you're going to find yourself that being in the will of God. I gave the scripture earlier with Matthew, Mark 11:24, it says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe those things and you will receive them. In other words, not one prayer will ever be unanswered when you walk in that realm, in that place. Whatsoever things you desire when you're praying, So the spirit of prayer gets you in a mode of desiring God's desire. You start praying those prayers. In that moment of prayer, those things will be answered. And finding God answering your prayers right and left. Amen. In Jesus' name. Breaking through the rickened veil of your into the passion of Jesus like never before. Amen. Amen. Groaning and travail and praying. All right, 214-415, who would talk to me from, please? Yes, thank you, Lord, for my sister, God. Thank you, Lord, for Barbara. Thank you, God, for the kindness, God, for showing her kindness and compassion and strength at the same time. May your strength be like a lion and your tenderness like that of a precious lamb. God, for yieldingness to you, the tenderness before you, God. And sometimes we come bound before you as a tender lamb, as a hungry, thirsty, needy lamb, knowing that if you don't guide us, we're not going to be guided. And yet at the same time, when we get that guidance, we go forth like a lion, like a strong lion, you know, declaring, decreeing, speaking what the Lord has shown us in our weakness, in our neediness, in our being like a sheep, needing the shepherd to lead us and guide us, because we don't know which way to go. We can go different ways, but we don't know which way to go, you know, for the way of God, the ways of God. Only God knows that way, and only Jesus knows the way of the Father, and only the Holy Spirit can lead us and guide us into all that truth. And we thank you, Lord, for the spirit of truth, God coming forth inside of her, strengthen her, give her courage, God, to stand forth with what you want her to stand forth with in Jesus' name. Amen. And do it with much love, and strengthen with much compassion. Amen. 951-966. I'm going to talk to Ruth, please.
Hi, this is Regina, California.
Hey, Regina. Regina, thank you. All right, thank you, Lord, for that special miracle of God, that special miracle ram, God. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for special miracles. Special miracles can be, you know, anything. Can be anything that's special, anything that's unique, anything that is, you know, every time God does something, it's special. Every time it's unique because every person's, you know, like somebody has a kidney problem, they need to be healed of a kidney. But everybody's kidney issue is a little bit different. You know, when God touches it, it's unique, it's special. And that God showing you that you have an anointing and a calling to walk in a special miracle realm, or whatever way you help them, whatever way God uses you to bring people what they need, it's very special because it was made just for them. You know, God gives you things that are just for people. I see God opening up things for you that are just for people that will fit no one else but that one person. And it's like a special thing. It's like you make something, like making something for somebody that's something they always dreamed of, that nobody knew about it, and you bring it to them and you show it to them and they go, wow, how did you know I wanted that? That's amazing. So it's like a special miracle realm in Jesus' name. Saying words that are special words. Words, you know, that be a bunch of words, but enough words to where they're, you know, they're going like, wow, that just really makes me feel special and making people feel special. That gift that you've given her, Father, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, open that up, God, in Jesus' name, that specialness, Father, that as she makes other people feel special, you will make her feel special and bring her into that special realm, Father, in Jesus' name. As the Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are those who make people, that's a special miracle, because they will receive that special that's given to them by God and through others also in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In other words, the Bible says, be a friend. No, get a friend, we become a friend. And I thank you, Lord, for the friendship realm with Regina, God, in Jesus' name, how to tap into that place where friendship becomes something that is because she gives mercy, she receives mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the for those who give a friendship and special thought and information and love to people, that will come back to her, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Nurture her and fill her with joy and that special uniqueness, God. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let it be done. Nurture that part of her, Father. Every person needs to know they're special, and only God can do that because he only needs He made us. He's the only one that can fulfill it in Jesus' name. So bring that forth, God. However you bring it forth with people or situations or whatever, let it come forth in the name of Jesus. Amen. That something connected at the hip thing in Jesus' name. All right. So there's several people that still are sitting. 2, 4, 6, 6 or 7 people that don't have their hand up may have it like that on purpose. I don't know. But if you don't raise your hand, I will not pray for you because I don't want to interfere with you. All right. So lift your hand up. 903, you don't have your hand up. 903-253, you don't have your hand up. 402-533, you don't have your hand up. 608, you don't have your hand up. Okay. Some of the other ones don't have your hand up. All right. There you go. Good job. All right, thank you. All right, 2 people just raised their hand. All right, 864, raise your hand. 313, who am I talking to you from, please?
Randy, I don't know if you saw my hand. I accidentally bumped it off. I had to bump it back on. This is Walter. Did you see that?
Yeah, I got you. All right. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
No,
very much.
Well, I said.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, bro.
What I said was I accidentally bumped it off. I had to bump it back on. That's why I was asking you. Did you see my hand?
I have
no idea what you're seeing there, but
yeah, it just went up.
Okay.
Yeah, when you clicked the one, I guess. Did you click one and it went up, right?
Well, I accidentally bumped it off because I was already on, and I said, "God, Dave, I got to get myself back up because I don't know how it works on your side." But I heard, you could hear it over here. It says, "You're up in the queue now."
Oh, good. Awesome. Yeah, that's the way it works. Hey, man, I love you, brother. Thank you. Thanks for doing it. I appreciate you getting back in there for me. I appreciate God helping you with that, too. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord, for my brother, God. I thank you for the helper, God. I thank you for the helper that he is. You know, the Holy Spirit's called a helper, and I thank God that my brother is a helper. He is a helper for God. He's like, you call him like a person who helps. You know, it's like Jesus told the disciples, I'm going to send you a helper. And that helper was there to do whatever they needed and directly was the greatest servant that ever lived, the Holy Spirit that's ever been, right? Because he serves exactly what the Father says. And I thank you, Lord, for connecting him and showing my brother, God, how to serve exactly what the Father gives and learning how to do that, walking in that. I'm still learning how to do that. That's my goal, Walker, is to serve exactly what God serves. Amen. And we do that. Guess what? Man, he's going to trust you more and more and more. And you have that ability in you, bro. You have the heart of God for that. And I think God wants to use you in that to impart and give and pray and bless people, in ways that it's giving him exactly what God wants him to have. Amen. And it's a training process. And I'm still in the training process. But I get closer and closer all the time, and I thank God for that I can speak the heart of God over a person and the mind of God and the thoughts of God and the kindness of God and the faith of God over them and the grace of God and the mercy of God. And thank you, Jesus, for doing that and with words and with articulation, with things that Walter needs to hear, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Reposition him, Father, in Jesus' name. Reposition him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. All right, 469-553, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Barbara from Dallas.
Hey, Barbara. All right, good to have you, Barbara. All right, thank you. Saw Latoria tonight. She was in there. Thank you, Jesus. That's so cool. Good to have her. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit, for the warfare, for the shofar, for giving Barbara a Holy Ghost shofar. Maybe, I'm not talking about literally a shofar, maybe that too, but. But a shofar to blow the horn, to blow the trumpet, to blow the, sometimes you blow the sound because it's time to party, with Jesus. We're going to party with Jesus. Sometimes you blow the horn because it's warfare coming on. Get ready. Everybody go get positioned. Sometimes it's like, calling people together to pray, calling people together, and blowing the trumpet, making the trumpet sound, how can they people do what they need to do if they don't have a clear sound? And so so I thank you, Lord, for that, that she will make a clear sound. And she's teaching how to make a clear sound, make it loving, make it kind, make it generous, and make it clear in Jesus' name. That the whole thing with Jesus is that he spoke clearly. And, you know, sometimes he would be upset when he spoke clearly. Sometimes he would be kind, have a little child that he was speaking clearly to. And speak to the disciples about different things and different things, different ways. I mean, and when you go about being the sower went forth to sow, and the Son of Man goes forth to sow the seed of the Word of God. You find it on different soils. And God's showing Barbara how to help people either get their soil right or plant the seed on the right soil so it can bear much fruit. Because you can have one thing in your life that's plowed up good, and you plant, you know, a few good seeds in that one little part of the ground they have. You've got one little area of their life that the ground has been plowed up and they're ready to – you plant some seeds in that, they're going to grow. It's going to harvest much. And then eventually it starts happening with the whole person. And thank you, Lord, you're teaching her how to plant, how to water, how to plant the seed in the right place, in the right heart, in the right way. And a lot of times the information that we give is directed toward that particular area of their heart that's been plowed, right, so the seed can bear forth fruit. Because the whole thing you do with Barbara, God, is giving people understanding. And all you're getting, get understanding. So the parable of the sower and the seed, it was really about all of it was about understanding. 3,600-fold is a 30-fold understanding, 60-fold understanding, 100-fold understanding. That's where we're all headed toward, is that one, the 100-fold. But it's all about understanding. And how can they know unless God sends them? So thank you, Lord, for that, and bless her, Jesus, and take care of her, God, open up her financials and bless her, pour your spirit upon her financials, God, in the name of Jesus. Let it be done. Let it be done, Jesus. Amen. All right. Anybody else want to raise your hands? Thank you, Barbara. Thank you. If you want to get ministered to, please raise your hand. Or send me a text, because I don't see, if you don't have your hand up, all you got to do is click one on your phone. And on your phone pad, go to your phone pad, and make a phone call. Click one on your phone. You don't have to leave the switchboard to view. You'll be able to get that call. Please do that. Please click one. We're here to minister to you, and we love ministering to you. It's our favorite thing to do. So get in there and just enjoy. Just enjoy. Let God bless you. Let him encourage you and build you up. I mean, we usually give correction and personal words, but sometimes we bring somewhat of a correction in our prophetic teachings, that kind of thing. So if you can kind of fit it all together and somehow be a part of all of it, I think it would help you to grow in the Lord, to help you get to that place that you're looking for. And we're all looking for it. We're all looking for it. And I can show you what God shows me, and hopefully that will help you with getting there. We want to, our goal is to get you there, to get you there. Amen. And help you stay there with the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the love of God. All right, y'all, I guess that's it for tonight. Nobody else is raising their hands, so I'm going to call it a night. What a great night it's been. We love ministering to people. I don't know how many people we ministered, but it seemed like quite a few. To me, at least, you go from one person to the other, for what, three hours? Pretty cool. Yeah, 2:11 to us, 3 hours. And what an awesome thing. What a great outlet we have here from Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all that. We just bless you and thank you for it. Give you the glory for it. Being here. Thanks for, I think I just placed it. Yes, I did. Okay. All right, going to call it a night. And sorry we miss you. All of a sudden you wake up and you don't have your hand up. You don't have your hand. Make sure when you come on the show to get that hand up. Okay? That's huge. Because if you don't have your hand up, I think you're there. So you want to listen, and I respect your not having your hand up. I'm not going to call your number unless you want me to, right? Give you the right to be on there without being messed with. Okay? I don't think I know everything, and you'll call my number no matter what. I probably won't, unless God just, you know, special intervention, maybe. All right. God bless everybody. I guess we will see you tomorrow. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your friendship. Thank you for everything you do for PGN and for making sure that we're able to get on here and keep going on and believe in God. All right. God bless. Bye-bye.